story by Danny Hicks.
In 1990, I was 18 years old. A couple of men that I've known called me wanting to go drive around Lake Springfield, sat at a picnic table, finished the beer, piled back in and started driving around the lake. He come flying around the corner as he lost control, thrown up into the air and smashed into a group of trees. The man in the back seat was killed instantly. You make a mistake. You climb into a car one time after you've been drinking, and your whole life as you knew it normal, gone.
A message from the Illinois Department of Transportation, Division of Traffic Safety.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can this go? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can this go?
Time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the low knee.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal citizenship.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the low knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother. Stop this thing.
is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Morning Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. The number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. 1-877-920-WGNU. My goodness gracious. We have so much stuff to talk about. It's going to be another day of riveting radio. That's right. On the Wake Up Call. In the 7 o'clock hour, Eye on the Lou, Irene J. Smith and I talk about, this murder of this baby. In the 8 o'clock hour, of course, justice for Reggie. We have many things to talk about this morning, ladies and gentlemen, and a good ride to the folks out there that are headed up to Jefferson City, to the state, to talk to the education committee on why there should be no state takeover, no three-person board. Leave us be. We'll handle our own business. I'll be back. Stay with us.
The love of your life at the top of your list.
New Year's Eve day, I said, I'm ready for eHarmony. I decided I really wanted to find a long-term relationship.
Hi, this is Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. There's no experience more magical than falling in love with that one person in the world that sees you, accepts you, and loves you passionately for who you really are.
He loves me for me.
She sees me more for who I really am.
Being seen and loved for who I am is incredible.
eHarmony helped me find the love of my life.
Make this the year that it happens for you. Check out eHarmony.com and see if it feels comfortable to you. Do it now and get your personality profile free. Let's get started finding your soulmate today. eHarmony.com, because it shouldn't take a lifetime to find the love of your life.
This will be an everlasting love for me.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
Karen Stewart. I'm sure you've asked yourself these questions before. What are the secrets to creating wealth? What are the four obstacles to building wealth? How do I build my financial house? How do I reduce my current year taxes? How do I best protect my assets? Get the answers to these questions and more on Strategies for Building Wealth every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. on WGNU, where we teach you how to work your money smarter, not harder.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I've got a hard road to travel and a rough way to go. And it's a hard road to travel and a rough way to go. But I can't turn back. My heart is fixed. My mind's made up. I'll never stop, and my faith will see me through. Let me tell you, I'm all alone.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. Oh yeah, you need to get to me. We have much, much, much business to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609. That would be my fax. Get up. Oh, yeah. Get to me. I was looking at watching the speech, my boy George, last night. 20 minutes, that's about all an ADD child can do. That's about all the time he had to be able to attempt to wrap himself around the word focus. And I could see, you just need to just watch him. Because I have never seen a person who sits in the White House in the highest seat of government in the United States of America, the leader of the free world is what they say. It's the title they attach to the men that sit in these positions. And I've never seen one so obviously reading off of a teleprompter. 20 minutes is all he had to deliver. 20 minutes. You could almost see the reflection of the teleprompter in his glazed over eyes. He looked extraordinarily uncomfortable. He looked he looked absent from the discussion. It was an amazing show, 20-minute show, the ADD version. And what did he tell us? I should have sent in more troops 3 years ago. You think? But I want to send in more troops now. Trust me. Because I have realized that there is more for, what's that word? Us to do. Huh? Huh? And I think I was personally insulted. It's like somebody just came to my house and personally insulted me when I watched this lick spittle suck up, licky, 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 Katie Couric ask the inane question. This is really going to be, well, this is one of the hardest moments of his presidency, isn't it? Huh? That's your question? Worried about his state of mind? Worry about ours. Why didn't you ask the question of, well, what does his speech say that's any different than any other time? He said something about benchmarks. What are the benchmarks? Shoot. Huh? What? This is so tough for him. This is so, what's the word I'm looking for? Hard for him. Isn't it? If you don't get your goofy self off the television, I'm going to have to go Elvis Presley on it. Ain't that some stuff? That's what news reporting has been reduced to. Stupid Katie Couric questions about the emotional state of boy George, rather than reporting on what the dang speech said and didn't say. What are the benchmarks? Is this any different? The American people are really skeptical about George Bush. He has a lot to prove to the American people. Shut up. I know why they picked you now. Because somebody says, okay, I think that we've dumbed America down enough. Bring on Katie. Yeah, they're stupid enough. They'll take her. And what about the, oh, I don't know, the thousands of people that were protesting outside of the speech, that were engaged in civil action outside of this speech, saying bring the troops home now, end this war. Now, we're more concerned about how difficult this is for George Boy George. That's what the focus on. Everybody was asking that question. And you know what? God help me and God forgive me. The only news place that was reporting this stuff with more accuracy was Fox. God forgive me. I turned to Fox and they were reporting on the protesters, the people engaged in civil actions. They asked the questions about the benchmarks. God help me. God help all of us. Fox News asked better questions than any of these other so solemn-looking, anchor-looking, packaged-looking folks. You know, and this is not a coffee klatch meeting, Katie. $12 million Couric. And the only thing that she is just so close to bimbo. She's one stupid question away from bimbo. Be a doggone. You know, I think that she stayed with Fluff too long. Why do I care about how difficult this is for Boy George? He doesn't have any kids that have died. He doesn't have any parent that has been snatched away in the prime of their life. He is not a parent of a child who will be in rehab for the rest of their life that's lost their arm, their leg, their eyes, their ears, their brain, their mind, everything. He's not a family out here that is suffering to pay their bills. He's not a person that has declared bankruptcy but will never be able to get out of debt. He's not a student out here that's going to have $180,000 worth of loans to have to pay back. Because he's eliminated Pell Grants. He's not a polar bear out here that's going to be, that may be extinct. And because of his inability to admit to global warming, I don't give a horse's patoot about how Boy George is feeling. Nobody should. This is about what you doing and how it impacts on our life. My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back.
Morning, St. Louis, 29 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry through New Florissant. Look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 from 141 through Mason. Expect some delays there. Westbound 5570 at 3rd Street into the PSB is looking good at this hour. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through 79. You've got some slowdowns going on out there. Northbound 270 from Gravoy through Big Bend on either side of the interchange at 44. You can expect some delays. Eastbound 40 from Spady through McKnight. Look for a little slowdowns going on there. Northbound 55 at Butler Hill all the way into the 270-255 interchange. Look for some delays. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the gravel pit into the landing is moving well. Westbound 70, that accident has been cleared at Goodfellow, but you may see some delays as a residual backup there. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. Mostly cloudy, chance of showers this afternoon with a high around 50. For this evening, rain likely low in the upper 40s. Friday, occasional rain, high in the lower 50s, but temps will be falling into the 40s by the afternoon. Friday evening, rain likely colder, low in the lower 30s. Then on Saturday, colder, cloudy, chance of rain and freezing rain in the morning. Then a chance of rain in the afternoon with a high only in the upper 30s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have clouds and 42 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting some clouds and 42 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's Riveting Talk Radio. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Nothing can be truer than the phrase, all politics is local. That's why Liz Brown is adding the Aldermanic Watch to the award-winning Wake Up Calls lineup. Every Monday at 7 a.m., Liz will be joined by Alderman Lewis Reed to discuss the comings and goings of the St. Louis Board of Aldermen. Do you want to know the latest bill passed? Do you want to know why it passed? And do you want to know who voted for and who voted against? Well, you're going to have to join Liz Brown when she talks Aldermanic politics with Alderman Lewis Reed every Monday at 7 a.m. Lewis Reed is going to bring local politics up close and personal, and you never know who else will be joining the discussion. The Aldermanic Watch, every Monday at 7 a.m., only on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
This is Pastor Ray Higgins of the African Village, and I want you to tune in on Sunday from 7 to 8 a.m. because I have a message that will liberate you from the trap of spiritual and economic powerlessness. Brothers and sisters, the knowledge of the truth will make you free. So join me on Sunday at 7 a.m. right here on WGNU.
What America needs is affordable health insurance. Finding affordable health insurance for you and your family, it's on everyone's mind right now. If you're self-employed, it's on your mind too. One of the things we face as entrepreneurial Americans is finding affordable health insurance. Well, I found a company you can call right now and get affordable health insurance. Midwest National Life Insurance Company of Tennessee. Write this number down. 877-652-7793. That's 877-652-7793. Midwest specializes in helping entrepreneurs of all kinds. Those of us who run small businesses or don't get health insurance where we work to protect our families with affordable health insurance. Call 877-652-7793. Not available in all states. Association membership is required in most states. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Exclusions and limitations apply.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Well, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You know what? We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up, get up, get up. Get up, get up, get up. Did I say get up? Get up. We have much business to attend to. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Vernon, good morning.
Belatedly, Happy New Year.
Happy 007.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, first, I'd like to touch on this first thing. You said on Bush's speech last night, it wasn't a speech, that was a read-off. And the whole thing against me is he tried to say all these other countries are going to be involved with terrorism if we leave. Well, if he had ever took out troops over there, none of these countries would have had this problem in the first place.
They weren't involved before we got there.
Right. Now, here's the one that got me. I noticed this terrorist call yesterday at the last minute. A black man, I'm a black policeman, and I noticed, officer, I can't believe it. What happened to evidence? What happened to the bodies? What happened to the witnesses? What make him think just because he knows a white man, that white man couldn't have done this? And everything else pulling us away. I don't care what year we get, we're going to always have some little ass-and-ass fruit like him defending him.
Well, again, every group always has one or two people that, you know, that don't get it.
He's got to be the slowest. This is some of a gun I ever heard over my life.
If that,
you know that you said the right thing yesterday when you you should call at the right time because he needs to be talked about.
Yes, sir.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Vernon. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. And if you want to email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Well, good morning, Miss Brown. How are you this beautiful day?
I'm outstanding.
Leadership in Iraq. People, we need leadership in America because we don't have any. We had the sorriest president that ever led this country. Boy George, and he said something concerned about the American people wasn't going to bag Iraq. We're not bagging it now. 75% of the American people are 85. I want them home in already. I was watching the news this morning. This lady, she home from Iraq. She's afraid to even drive her own kids to school for having flashbacks. She on medication. She's trying to hide the medication from her kids. It's ridiculous. And speaking of Katie, I told you just in the morning, I was through with that woman. First, I thought she was going to be kind of all right, but Katie, I'm through with you. She's pitiful. And one good thing that's happening to our town here in St. Louis, I know it's off the subject, but we're trying to get Mike McGuire's name off of Interstate 70.
Mark McGuire,
a man that never cared nothing about this town. Dope fiend that brought pills here to your kids, had them popping pills all over the country. Yeah, they working on you, Mike.
Mark,
or whatever his name is.
All right, Mac.
Miss Brown, America's in... it's a good scholar out there. And also, Bush wants $86 billion more dollars. But 20,000 troops. How much is that a troop?
Well, I mean, the numbers that they are measuring in that, you have to measure in retirement money. You have to measure in their use of medical facilities within the VA hospital. It's not a cheap thing when you measure all of the costs that's attributed to one troop. It's not just how much they get paid every month. There's a whole lot of money that goes into each person if they live.
Yeah,
if they live. Thanks for your call,
Thank
Matt.
You, Ms. Brown. Have a beautiful day.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Don't forget, we are broadcast and archived at whiterosesociety.org. If you've missed an hour, go get your hour. My name is Liz Brown. Get up, get up, get to me. You're on the wake-up call. Okay, we have a really bad connection there. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get up. Get to me, huh? Soldiers are out here saying, and this is a big deal, soldiers are out here saying that they doubt an influx of American troops will benefit Iraqi army. When Bush announced last night that he expects to send thousands more American soldiers to Iraq as part of a plan to deal with the civil war, more Americans won't solve Iraqi's problems. And understand what Boy George is telling us, that they're sending these soldiers to bolster the Iraqi soldiers. Well, truth be told, they don't want us there. So, how is this supposed to work? Did I mention that Great Britain is pulling out their troops? About 3,000 of them? Only have about 8,000 there. And they're pulling out 3,000 of them. This is not a workable, viable plan. This is a stubborn plan that we're holding to until we get that law passed that allows us to get that oil, that allows allows the private oil companies to privatize the Iraqis' oil. Then I think we'll be coming home pretty soon. Then I think we'll be coming home pretty soon. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get to me. Cliff.
Yes, Liz. Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, concerned it all over there. I think that's still what the main thing is. You know, they don't want to get out of Iraq because I hear there's so many billion barrels of oil.
There's over 115 billion barrels waiting to be, understand that, Cliff, that the oil that's over in Iraq, it is so easy to get to. All you have to do basically is stick a pipe in the ground and you got the oil.
Right.
And it's the third largest oil reserve in the world.
Absolutely.
So that all America has to do is to get the Iraqis to change their constitution to allow for the privatization, and then it's on. Because we couldn't get in there before with Saddam Hussein in there. Now that Saddam Hussein has been hung.
Right.
Oh, it's ours.
And that's another thing. You know, they talk about the lesser of the two evils. Basically, Saddam Hussein was the lesser of the two evils. Mm-hmm. You know?
Saddam Hussein had a working relationship with Donald Rumsfeld, with Boy George, with Boy George's daddy,
yeah.
But he wasn't going to let them have the oil for free, so America does what America does best, go steal it.
Absolutely. Thank you for taking my call, Liz.
Certainly, Cliff.
Good morning.
1-877-920-WGNU. I mean, come on. Ask yourself, if this is not about the oil, explain why the Iraqi oil has flowed without any kind of slowdown since we've been in there fighting this war. We can't even keep Baghdad safe. You can't even drive down the streets of the city that we occupy, this country, this army occupies. But oil has flowed without interruption the entire time of this war. Water hasn't flowed that way. Electricity hasn't flowed that way. Sewers haven't flowed that way. Education, hospitals, you name it. Nothing has been the same in Iraq since this war began, this invasion, this occupation by America began, except for the oil. So let me ask you, why do you think that we need, that Boy George wants to put more troops in there? Because most of the troops are protecting the oil pipelines. My name is Liz Brown. This is a wake-up call. Stay with me.
travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears, why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Look, we've got this hometown sale going on at Sears. 10% off of all regular and sale prices, home appliances, plus 6 months, no interest, no payments with your Sears card, and free delivery on any appliance over $399. They have this wonderful Kenmore white top freezer refrigerator. Save $80, $399. This is a white one, and you know what? All the fashion designers are saying that white is in design. So get on down to Sears, design your kitchen up, and take advantage of this hometown sale. Starts today through Saturday. Get on down to Sears at Union and Natural Bridge and tell them I told you to.
If you have suffered roof damage from the recent severe weather, Phil Person Roofing is still a name you can trust. Licensed and certified for commercial and residential jobs. Phil Person Roofing offers free estimates for all work. To contact Person Roofing, call this special emergency number, 602-1047. That's 602-1047. Phil Person Roofing, 602-1047.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Like a butterfly, I sing like a hornet. They won't let me have it, not even if no one else want it. And if I try to take it, they won't break me down and strip me naked. They write a brand new rule and break it. They lie, they cheat, they steal, they fake it. But I'm gonna make it, Lord, I can take it. I'm the greatest man alive. Cut the drama, boy, save it for your mama. I'm the greatest man alive.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. I just want to remind you that on Martin Luther King's birthday at noon at the Westin Community Center, there will be a rally on behalf of Jeremy and a coming together of the community. We have to... we have to do something about the murder of our young men, of our babies. We have to do something. This is intolerable. If cops can just look at our babies and just see nothing but crime. And if we don't fight against that assessment of our children, there will be no future for our community. You can't come into our community and slaughter our babies. There's all kinds of innocence out here. There's the innocence of the child that has never even spit on the sidewalk. There's the innocence of a person who, of a child that has made some mistakes. There's the innocence of a child that is, you know, got some real issues out here. None of those children are more valuable than the other. And none of those children deserve to be shot down in the street, unarmed, by the police. None of them do. None of them do. Jeremy was shot time after time after time after time after time by a cop who knew that he could get away with it. A cop that was waiting like, I don't know, gun smoke. You know, waiting in the middle of, like this was OK Corral.
And heck, even in OK Corral, both people had guns. And they were both grown men. And they understood what they were doing. This is a child that is has no gun, running from the police. When the police says get on the ground, he lies on the ground with his arms outstretched, face down. Face down. Like Christ on a cross. And the cop fires until he just till he gets tired. And then kicks a gun next to the baby. None of our children, none of our children should be shot down in the middle of the street by the police. If the police don't have to follow the law, then why would anybody else have to follow the law? What kind of society do we live in where the police don't have to follow the law? And then how do you expect other people to behave? Dead at 15, buried on his 16th birthday. Dead at 15, buried on his 16th birthday. This is murder most foul. Murder most foul. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Ms. Brown. This is Linda calling you.
Yes, Linda.
Such a sad subject you have this morning. I have been absent from listening, been out of town. Can you tell me the little boy's name so I can look it up? And
Jeremy Robinson.
Jeremy Robinson. Mm-hmm. This happened how long ago?
This happened right before the new year.
Oh, man, it's like a legal genocide, doesn't it?
It is. It's an illegal genocide.
It's legal because they're letting them get away with it.
Well, you know, then that's where we come in.
Absolutely. We need to fight this with everything that we have.
His funeral was just this week on, I believe it was Tuesday, and there were at least, I don't know, 500 children there.
Unreal.
Crying their eyes out, puking their guts out about the murder of this child.
Unreal. Shot him in the back.
Shot him. Well, and what is so interesting is Joe Mokwa told the weekly, one of the weekly black newspapers, that he was only shot once. We know that he was shot 14 times, and we
know. Know that?
Well, here's the thing. We know that because Irene J. Smith and Quincy Troop examined the body with a medical examiner that they hired. And so they counted the bullet holes in the baby.
Amazing.
So just think about that. Just think about the justice system. If that hadn't happened, people could say anything, couldn't they?
And
the chief is saying that still, that, well, he wasn't shot in the back. Well, no, because two eyewitnesses looked at the body. Do you know that the cops came back after the body was embalmed and took the body back to examine it again?
Are you serious?
Yes, ma'am.
So where does the case stand with the officer who shot him?
The cop that shot him hasn't even filed his police report yet. Hadn't even. And this is so. Well, they can't get the story together. What kind of story are you going to tell when the shots are localized?
Same story they've been telling all along. Lies.
That's right. That's right. But here's the problem. Somebody else, another medical examiner, has already examined the body and made a report. So now what? What
right.
kind of lie? Now what? How are you going to be able to lie your way out? And plus, that means that this medical examiner, the one in the city of St. Louis, also is going to have a report, and I don't think he's going to lie.
He can't.
Exactly.
They can easily get the body and look at it. They can't cover up bullet holes.
They've already got the body and looked at it. They've already got the body and looked at it.
Amazing.
So this is a horrible story of this baby was buried on his 16th birthday.
I was out of town, didn't get the story.
Yes, ma'am.
Amazing. It sounds like we need to send 30,000 troops to the city of St. Louis to get the police officers. Have a good day, Ms.
Take care of yourself. There's going to be a community meeting on this subject on Martin Luther King's birthday. That would be Monday at noon at the West End Community Center. It's right there at Union and Del Mar. And also I would like folks that want to work on this, that have an issue with this, that feel this, to come on down to the International Urban Institute on Saturday at 1020 North Taylor. International Urban Institute was out there in full force. And one of the organizations that has always been at the forefront of these issues with the Civilian Review Board for decades. You know, there are organizations out there that have always been involved in this. And this is so unacceptable. This is murder most foul. Murder most foul. And what is the community going to do about it? The first thing I think that the community needs to do is to honor the feelings and the view and the understanding of these hundreds of young people that came out and were in pain, because they know a murder when they see a murder. Anybody should know a murder when they see a murder. He was shot dead, unarmed. Let me say it again, unarmed, in the back. Unloaded his whole clip in that baby. Unloaded his whole clip in that baby. Oh, and by the way, the cop, after he unloaded his clip in the baby, he leaned over to his left shoulder, turned on the little microphone that they have, the little radio, the little walkie-talkie device that cops have on their shoulders. And when folks came screaming out of their house saying, "What are you doing that doing? You didn't have to kill him. You didn't have to kill him. Why'd you shoot? Why are you killing that baby?" And this didn't happen at 2 o'clock in the morning. This happened at high noon in the middle of the street on a sunny day. And people were watching. Women came out of their homes so fast that they didn't even put their shoes on, didn't have their coats on, ran out to try to save that baby's life and to stop that cop from murdering the baby. When the cops saw the black folks coming out of their homes, he leaned down and spit into his radio and said, "Come get me. The niggas are coming out." That's what he said. Foul on foul, wrapped in foul. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I on the Loo is in the next hour. Stay with me.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress.
the progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I'm hearing revolution in the air. Feel me, brother. Talk to me, sister.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. President Bush wants to send more than 20,000 additional troops to Iraq. ABC's Ann Compton with more on the president's speech last night from the White House.
The president's forecast is that over time, this new strategy will bring down the level of violence in Baghdad.
I've committed more than 20,000 additional American troops to Iraq. The vast majority of them, five brigades, will be deployed to Baghdad.
There is also a strong warning to neighboring Syria and Iran. Back off. Their interference will invite American military crackdown. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
The decision is getting some cheers, Australian Prime Minister John Howard.
If the West retreats in Iraq, if America retreats in Iraq, then that has enormous consequences for the stability of the Middle East, and it will also be an enormous boost to terrorism in our part of the world.
And some jeers, peace activist Medea Benjamin.
This man is deaf. He did not hear what the voters said on November 11th. We want an end to this war. This guy is blind. He doesn't see what's happening in Iraq. That sending more troops is just going to mean a further escalation of the violence.
Now Congress will weigh in on the troop buildup.
With five Senate and House hearings in the next couple of days, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice and top Pentagon officials face tough questioning about the details of the president's plan. And joining Democratic critics, Republican Senator Sam Brownback, just winding up a visit to Iraq, who says the country requires a political rather than a military solution.
ABC's Vic Ratner on Capitol Hill. The Senate votes next week on a bill to raise the minimum wage. The House voted yesterday to raise it $2.10 an hour over the next 26 months. The New York Daily News says Barry Bonds tested positive for speed last year but blamed it on a teammate. The San Francisco Giants slugger is under investigation for steroid use. This is ABC News.
A three-day weekend is perfect for planning a home project. So head to Lowe's and take 20% off all special order carpeting or 10% off all in-stock Whirlpool washers and dryers priced $397 or more. It's a plan. Offer good while supplies last. Put it all on your Lowe's consumer credit card and ask for special financing for 12 months on any purchase of $299 or more January 11th to January 15th, 2007. Whirlpool washer and dryer offer not valid on special order previous sales or installation fees. See store for details. Lowe's. Let's build something together.
Feels like I get this same cold every year. So I got the same nighttime medicine I always get. But I was congested all night, so it wasn't the same.
Many cold medicines have changed. NyQuil Cold Flu Relief no longer has a decongestant. New Tylenol Cold Nighttime does. It helps relieve more of your worst cold symptoms, and it helps you sleep. It's one more step towards a pain-free world. Stop. Think. New Tylenol Cold. Take only as directed.
Most of us usually aren't too bothered by allergies this time of year. Then again, this hasn't been your usual winter. Here's ABC's Sherry Preston.
Chances are you or somebody you know is suffering from allergies or some sort of sinus infection. It's the weather's fault, says Tulane University microbiology professor Robert Gary.
There'll be more
blooming plants, trees, things like that. So, yes, the allergy season can last a lot longer in that situation.
The good news is that those cold and flu viruses might actually be down because of the warmth.
Usually we think cold weather maybe keeps people inside more, which encourages the virus to be passed around from person to person.
In other words, going outside is bad for the allergies, but maybe good for keeping away the flu. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
It's getting harder to find family-friendly TV these days. The Parents Television Council says programs are bloodier than ever. Primetime violence up 75% since 1998. The biggest offender, it says, is NBC. The council thinks the FCC should regulate violence on TV like indecency. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, a University City detective is recovering after being shot in the leg. The incident happened during an investigation in the 4900 block of Palm last night. Two officers were checking out a domestic incident when the suspect saw them, fled, and then opened fire. The wounded detective fired back and believes he may have hit the suspect. The officer was transported to a hospital and is in stable condition. The suspect is still at large. The St. Louis School Board takeover could soon be in the hands of the state of Missouri. Today, the State Board of Education will consider a panel's recommendation that the state take over the city school district. Both School Board President Veronica O'Brien and Mayor Francis Slay support this potential action. Education Commissioner Kent King says the State Board will not vote on the proposal today. A good deed turned into a carjacking yesterday. Belleville police say 43-year-old Stanley Delk of Swansea approached a woman at a gas station and asked her for a ride. After driving for a few blocks, the woman asked Delk to get out, but he refused and told her to keep driving, saying he had a gun. The woman fled the vehicle in East St. Louis, but the car was recovered and Delk was arrested. He's charged with one count of vehicular hijacking and is being held on $150,000 bond. Finally this hour, U.S. health officials have approved the first obesity drug for dogs. The drug Slentrol reportedly helps decrease appetite and fat absorption. The Food and Drug Administration says that roughly 5% of U.S. dogs are obese and 20-30% are overweight. The drug is said to have various side effects, including vomiting and diarrhea. The drug will only be available through veterinarians. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. Let's take a look at your traffic and your weather for today. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry to New Florissant, look for some slow traffic. Eastbound 40 from 141 through Mason is slow. Westbound 5570 at 3rd Street and the Poplar Street Bridge, look for some delays there as well. Route 3 northbound approaching the Poplar Street Bridge, that ramp is starting to stack up. Northbound 270 from Gravoy through Big Bend, look for some delays on either side of the 44 interchange. Eastbound 40 from Spady through McKnight, you've also got some slowdowns going on there. Northbound 55 at Arsenal and 44, look for traffic to be building up there. And eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through 79, look for some delays as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Let's take a look at your weather for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. Mostly cloudy, chance of rain this afternoon with a high in the mid-50s for this evening. Rain likely, low in the upper 40s. Moving on to Friday, occasional rain, highs in the lower 50s. Temps will be falling into the 40s by the afternoon. And Saturday, cloudy, colder, chance of rain, even freezing rain is possible. The highs will only be in the upper 30s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 44 degrees. Lambert Field is also reporting 44 degrees as well under cloudy skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call is up next. It's Eye on the Lou with Irene J. Smith and Liz Brown. That's on the way. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can I sustain? I think
power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, stop me, sisters.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal
treatment. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
It's time now for Eye on the Lou. Redistricting, hand-picked school board members, up-and-coming elections, recalls, battles in Jefferson City.
Welcome, 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 welcome to Eye on the Lou. My name is Liz Brown. I am here this morning, as always, with Irene J. Smith. We have all kinds of things to talk about, all kinds of things percolating going on in our community. Irene J. Smith, good morning.
Good morning, Liz, and your listening audience.
And it's been an amazing week. It's been an amazing days leading up to this week. We both attended the funeral on Tuesday?
Yes.
And you spoke at the funeral, and Irene, talk to the audience about what you saw when you walked into that church.
Ooh, what I saw was a sea of young people and old. It was almost as if, with the exception of Liz and I and a few others, there were very few in the middle age, and Liz is younger than I. But I just saw a sea of young people and old, but primarily young people, grieving, just finding it difficult to deal with the loss. But I also saw a unity among these young people, sometimes that is, quite often, that is not even recognized. I was talking to a brother that works with the young people at Turner, where Jeremy attended high school in the ninth grade. And there are kids there from a lot of different neighborhoods. And at that funeral, there were kids from a lot of different neighborhoods, some neighborhoods that people would say are so-called warring neighborhoods, mm-hmm. so to speak. But one of the things that struck me were how these kids came together for Jeremy, you know, from different neighborhoods, a sense of unity, but having a little hope, but saying, just trying to reconcile in themselves how this could have happened in broad daylight. And a couple of them asked me, what is going to be done about this? And then those that don't have faith in the system, but just still there together. I mean, I just saw a tremendous amount of support for Jeremy's family. And the majority of that support came from young people.
We're going to take a break. This is Eye on the Loo. My name is Liz Brown. I am here with Irene J. Smith. We have much business to tend to. They call this Riveting Radio. Stay with us.
Fridays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU. Animals have always mattered to me, so that's why we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your animal companions. Join us as our special guests and I examine puppy mills, parrots, turtles, ferrets, and answer your questions about pet care. For 2 hours of fur, friends, and fun every week, join me, Randy Grimm, for Animal Tales, Fridays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on AM 920 WGNU. Woof.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
School, church, civic, and other nonprofit organizations often have tight budgets. At WGNU, we understand that and remind you that we can help. If you know of a nonprofit group that would like WGNU to help promote events and ongoing programs free of charge, just send a fax with all the information to our public service department at area code 314-454-6609. Requests must be submitted 2 weeks in advance of any event. WGNU Radio reserves the right to edit or reject any submission because of time constraints and objectionable or commercial content.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Jeremy Lamont Robinson, sunrise, January 9th, 1991, sunset, December 29th, 2006, and buried on his birthday. One of the things that struck me, Irene, at the funeral were You know how sometimes when people pass before their time, people get T-shirts with their names and their photographs on it.
Right.
And there were three different types of T-shirts that I saw in the audience at the funeral. One with the normal sunrise, sunset date. The other with blessed on this day, hated on this day, and then another one, born on this day and killed on this day. You know, so you saw the and to me, because these were young people. Now, when I say young people, I'm talking about teenagers, babies. These are 16, 15-year-old, 17-year-old kids. The degree of those three ways of describing his death to me demonstrated that they understood it. They got it, and they wanted to tell it. You know, that this child, this baby, was murdered.
Exactly.
And you know, I have to say this because it was so interesting to me at the funeral, listening to the people talking, and most of the people that were talking were men. Well, you know, the overwhelming majority of the people that spoke for Jeremy were men. But I only heard your voice describing this for what it is, that it was a murder. And I think that we need to be truthful. I think this is an opportunity for us to be truthful and honest and not fearful with our children to describe the world that we have left them.
Exactly.
Because we have left these children in the most unprotected place that any generation has ever been left in. These babies have one strike and you're out. I mean, there were times, and I was talking to Quincy about this, when Quincy said when he was growing up, you could do some stuff out there, but it didn't alter your life forever. There was a type of environment that allowed for understanding and forgiveness and making certain that the generation got there anyway, despite of some bad things
exactly.
that they may have done as a
exactly.
child.
Exactly, exactly. And then when you take that and you talk about the environment that they are allowed to exist in, and you look at Jeremy, and an elderly member of our community came up to me, and she saw a portion of what happened to Jeremy, and she said...
She was an eyewitness to the murder.
She was an eyewitness. She wasn't an eyewitness to the murder, but incidents leading up to, she saw. And she had passed a note to a member of the IUI, in case she didn't get in contact with me because of the large crowd. We stopped counting at about 709. And she said, you know, Jeremy was a typical kid. She said, but what really struck me about him was how he could be so humble and respectful. And when I thought about what a teacher told me that had come in contact with the kids at Turner, and they said all these kids from Disney, he was almost a natural leader in a way, and the kids kind of gravitated toward him. But you're right, Liz. I mean, we were talking about we had some preaching and maybe perhaps attempt to teach at the environment that our children are in and lifestyle and how it leads, but it didn't really apply to Jeremy. And so for me, even though I understood, you know, that this is an audience that is part of that and we have allowed it to exist, but that didn't really apply to Jeremy.
No,
and so for me, that was kind of out of place.
It was.
But then when you look at the way funerals in our community have come about, say when you go to a funeral, you know, there are very few funerals often in our community where individuals are in fact eulogized. People, ministers, they feel that as an opportunity to reach those who are there. Unfortunately, and it's one of the things I said to the grandmother and to Alderman Troop, is that it's so unfortunate that the teachers that knew Jeremy, the older ladies on the block who knew Jeremy, did not really get an opportunity to speak. Now, some of them were choked up and said, you know, Irene, I just can't talk.
But to me, but it seemed as if, and this is frustrating for me personally, it seemed as if there was some fear or resistance to letting people really feel what they should have been
exactly
feeling, keeping people from their legitimate, their honest emotion on this, keeping the children from getting to the place where we all need to get to. I mean, I have read African spirituality that talks about if we do not grieve completely mm-hmm. at the passing of our loved one, that you cannot go on and they cannot fully transition on to the place that they need to transition on. We cannot block
the
grief, and we cannot block the grief and not tell the real story about why we are here. This child was murdered, okay?
He was murdered.
He was murdered most foul, cold-bloodedly. This baby was
yes.
murdered.
It is my understanding yesterday as I was interviewing a witness and your show was going to the off the air, I received a call from one of our members, a Brother Maxie. Did you hear the police officer that called in on Liz's show from the Ethical Police Society? I said, no. He said he was just talking about how this kid was a thug and you know, he didn't believe that this officer that we know only from sources, because they haven't come out and said that in fact is the officer.
What's the name? What is his name?
Nathaniel Burkamper. That's okay. What we have been told. But that, you know, still not looking at the specific incident that happened, but saying, you know, as if though this kid was a thug, and so it follows that he deserved what he got. But the fact remains that he was not a thug. And when the officer in the white shirt said that this was a gang killing, well, then to me,
where are the gang members?
Who the gang members?
And what were the bullets that came from a gang member? Oh, yeah, that's right. It was Nathaniel Burkamper that shot and killed that baby.
That was the officer that did the shooting, then, and that was someone in blue. Then it was interesting to me how some people said, see, those kids shouldn't come. Some of them have on red. And I said, you know what? I said, it's so interesting to me that just in October, there were a million people downtown. There was a sea of red. And why were people wearing red? They wanted to show their togetherness with the Cardinals for winning the World Series. Yet these children, who are actually just doing the same thing, they wear a color to show that they are together. Now, some people take that to say, well, that's an indication that they are a gang. And I can remember when we were kids, we did things, we wore things alike so that we together, we with each other.
Wait a minute. I've been to funerals where men walked in suits.
Exactly.
Okay. Women wore black.
Right.
You know,
or all white.
Or all white. People do that. But again, there is this, and this is the thing. It's our responsibility. These are children. Our responsibility is to insist upon the environment that they can grow up in peace, that they can grow up in a safe environment. And when anybody bends to this concept that by doing this, by a child doing the thing that kids do, dress alike. They dress alike. That's what they do. They dress alike. They want to put the label of crime on that.
Exactly.
And to justify anything that you do to these kids.
Exactly. And that is, I mean, no, look, we are not naive. We know that there are individuals out there that are wearing colors and doing violent things.
I know people wearing suits that are doing
violent
things.
Just as there are individuals who are in uniform.
Mm-hmm.
that are killing people, are murdering people, are executing people.
Children.
And children. So, I mean, the fact that you wear something, a particular color, or that you dress a particular way, does not say that you are a particular person.
We're taking a break. This is Eye on the Lou. Jeremy Lamont Robinson, sunrise, January 9th, 1991, buried on his birthday. My name is Liz Brown. We'll be back.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Westbound 270 at Old Halls Ferry and New Florissant, look for delays. Eastbound 40 from 141 through Mason, look for some delays there as well. Eastbound 40 from Spady through McKnight, you've also got a slowdown going on there. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry through Big Bend at the 44 interchange, you can expect some delays there. Northbound 55 at Gasconade and Arsenal, look for slow traffic due to an accident that's been cleared. It's near Arsenal, but there are some delays as well. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street on in, look for some slowdowns. And westbound Kingbridge traffic from the 5570 split through Laclede's Landing is on the move. And westbound 64 at Bow Avenue at the 5570 split, look for some slowdowns going on there as well. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through 79, look for some slow traffic. And westbound 40 between Hampton and Clayton Skinker, look for a slowdown due to the accident that was just before Clayton Skinker, but everything seems to be on the move at this hour. Forest Park Parkway at Skinker, look for a vehicle on fire. And eastbound 44 from Soccer Park through the 270 interchange, there's slowdowns as you get on the 270, as well as northbound 270 at Dorset and 70, where you hit the 70 exit lanes. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your weather for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. Mostly cloudy, chance of rain this afternoon, high in the mid-50s. This evening, rain likely, low in the upper 40s. Friday, occasional rain, highs in the 50s, but they'll be falling into the 40s by the afternoon. Friday evening, rain likely, colder with a low in the lower 30s. And Saturday, cloudy, colder, chance of rain and freezing rain in the morning, then chance of rain in the afternoon with a high in the upper 30s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have clouds and 43 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting clouds and 44. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call that's up next. It's more Eye on the Lou with Irene J. Smith and Liz Brown on the way. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
Hello, I'm Minister Glenn Rogers. I'd like to invite you to listen to my radio show, Radio UFO, Uncommon Facts and Observations. We had so much information to share with you about sightings and medical and scientific breakthroughs that we extended this program another night. Now we're on every Friday and Saturday at midnight. So do something different. Listen to a new kind of talk show, Uncommon Facts and Observations, every Friday and Saturday night at midnight, only on AM 920 WGNU.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to Eye on the Lou. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with Irene J. Smith. And I do want to, before we go to that, get back to our discussion, I want to let everybody know that there's an incredible hometown sale that's going on at Sears this weekend. Starting today, 10% off of regular and sale price home appliances, plus 6 months, no interest, no payment on any appliance over $399 with your Sears card, free delivery on any appliance over $399. And check this out, $399.98. Kenmore White 14.8 cubic foot top freezer refrigerator, save $80. Look, there's a great sale going on at Sears right here in your neighborhood at Union and Natural Bridge. Get on down to Sears. Take advantage of the hometown sale. You have a bill to pay, go on down there, pay your bill, but buy your stuff there too. Get on down to Sears at Union and Natural Bridge. Take advantage of the hometown sale starting today. This is Eye on the Lou. I am here with Irene J. Smith, and we're talking about Jeremy Lamont Robinson.
Yeah, and you know, Liz, you asked me something else that I observed. You know, we had sent a shout-out, and, you know, the International Urban Institute had talked about it on Saturday, asking the brothers to come. And, again, I certainly want to commend those brothers that did come, some on very short notice, to be there to lend support. That was really, you know, a lot of kids, young people, knew some of the brothers that we had asked to come. And so that was an addition. That was someone there that could comfort them, that could talk through them, you know, let them cry on their shoulders, things of that nature, calm them down when maybe rage was percolating as you would expect it to be.
Well, isn't that one of the stages of grief?
It is.
Anger is the stage of grief. You have to allow people to go through
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you allow, don't get me wrong, I understand that it's necessary to go through the grieving process in order to begin to heal. But when I said to try to make sure that that rage did not reach a point where they would do something that would harm them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm talking about.
Gotcha.
And so the brothers were there, and I certainly want to commend all of the brothers that did come on very short notice, and particularly the brothers that are part of IUI, who were there early on, even before the church doors opened, to kind of be there to talk to the young people and to let them grieve.
And it's wonderful to see the signage. It's wonderful to see the folks out in support of this baby, and also expressing the rage and expressing the outrage of a murder of a child by a police officer.
Exactly. And as you talked about the three types of T-shirts, there were also T-shirts of protest that the young people had that were directed directly at the murder of Jeremy by a 7th District police officer.
Whose name we believe is Nathaniel Burkamper.
Right.
1-877-920-WGNU. Car phone.
Oh, good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Irene, I saw you on TV with the interview. You look good. I'm going to make two quick questions, and I'm going to get on the phone and let you answer. Irene, when you called for the brothers to be out at the funeral yesterday, how many BC Rices, how many big-time ministers were there to minister to the young guys? That's my first question. And two, I almost jumped out of my shoes yesterday at the end of Liz's show. I'm an ex-law enforcement officer. I'm sick now, so I'm not working. But when Eddie said, Eddie, I love you, man, and you're the best, man, and Eddie stands for a lot, and Eddie's been through a whole lot, take my word. But when Eddie said that he's sure that the guy didn't do that with the gun, Eddie, man, that really got to me when Eddie said that he wasn't there. Eddie, you don't know what happened when the guy was by himself. But that really shocked me because I know Eddie, and he's been through a lot. He stands like he's good. He's excellent. But that really hurt my feelings. Let me hang up and take your call. Your answer.
Well, specifically, I know you mentioned B.T. Rice was not there. I didn't see any member that I knew of the clergy coalition there, but Brother Sam Moore was there. Brother Minister Akbar Muhammad was there. Brother Minister Stacy was there. I'm stretched. I didn't see. I only saw three elected officials in the city there. The representation from the St. Louis Board of Education, we are so thankful for that. Donna Jones was there. There were also people there from, I want to almost say 9/11, from 8/11, that from
801
that were there as well. Several ladies were there.
And I also saw some men there.
Some men
from
from downtown. There were ministers there, you know, some maybe people don't know.
But here's the thing I thought was interesting is that I was going to, and I told Quincy this, that I was going to clown at the funeral if, because one of the NAACP guys that was there, obviously he's not from St. Louis, because he called out to see if Harold Crumpton was there. And I told Quincy that if Harold Crumpton had spoke, I would have gotten up and clowned about that, because it is, they've been missing in action on so many of these things. They are so compromised. My concern right now is they're out there trying to compromise this issue away right now. I did see Harold there, and he looked like he just rolled out of bed. He looked like he just rolled out of bed.
Well, as I said, as Liz indicated, he was there. The only elected officials that I saw there were Jay Ozier, Jeffrey Boyd, Alderman Troop, and Alderman Lewis Reed.
And Donna Jones.
And Donna Jones. And some of,
you mean Alderman?
Alderman.
Okay.
I didn't see any other. Of course, the state legislatures were in session. They were not there, but it was so challenging to be there, to see so many young people. And as I indicated, these are young people from all over the city of St. Louis, from
hundreds
different
and hundreds and hundreds,
hundreds
of young people. Let me get to some of the calls here. Lenny.
Hi.
Yes.
I was calling. I heard this topic, along with several others, being discussed on another show, and it gave me grounds to side with you all on the police review board. The gentleman is associated with the police department and was just just taken aback by the fact that the shootings were in question, as if to say, we're police, we shouldn't even be questioned.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave the example of the two Border Patrol officers that shot at a person, and because they weren't a U.S. Citizen, he felt that because the person fled back over the line, that no report should be made. So he basically said, no harm, no foul. So why are these officers being looked at? I wanted to try and get through to talk to him. And, you know, it's like when you break a rule or violate the law and you're a police officer, because you carry that badge, you're under certain circumstances where you shouldn't be questioned. Let us do that and we're scum. You see what I'm saying? And that's where I wanted to nail him at with the reason for the police department review board.
Their job is not to shoot to kill us and not have to answer any questions. They don't get any free kills.
They get nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that they sit back and they do that, and they go through these different investigations. These are people that they know that are investigating them. Well, and if you feel that this officer is a good officer, you have a personal opinion, how many people honestly push their personal opinions and knowing that this other officer who works with you has a family and has a, you know, some sort of, has to have an income.
But the other piece of it is, and I got to let you go, and I want Irene to be able to comment on this as well, but here's the other piece of it. The problem is that if you work in that kind of environment that police officers can do no wrong, there will always be an excuse given or an explanation given of why he should be forgiven for shooting this person. So the answer will always be, you know what, if we're going to err, we're going to err on the side of the cops, and the cop gets to keep their job. And also don't forget that there's the underlying constant message that it's we're the good guys, they're the scum. And if they've defined us as the scum, anything that they do is justified.
And Liz, also you have to remember, if they come back and rule in the favor of them being their action being wrong, they have to pay for that. So if you had in your hands the power to say I'm wrong or I'm right. Who's gonna rule against themselves and have to come up out of their pockets for, you know?
Thanks for your call, Lenny. Irene will be back. I want your thoughts on that. Stay with us. Visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Where else, where else, where else indeed are you going to be able to take part in the hometown sale starting today? 10% off of all regular and sale price items, home appliances, plus 6 months no interest, no payments on any appliance over $3.99 with your Sears card, free delivery after mail-in rebate on any appliance after $3.99. Look, $399.98 Kenmore top freezer, refrigerator, 14.8 cubic feet, $399. A Kenmore capacity plus water softener, $499. It's on sale, $70 off. Look, get on down to Sears, the hometown sale right there at Union and Natural Bridge. No interest, no payments until January 8th on all fitness equipment over $299 with your Sears card. Tell them I told you to.
This is Decent Guy Don, the original conspiracy hunter. You know, the guy that keeps you up to date on all the good guys and the bad guys out of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati crowd, and assorted other characters who are squeezing the life out of our great American country. Tune in every evening to hear the thunderous crash as I pull the linchpin from the foundations of the House of the New World Order as it crashes down at 7 p.m. Monday through Friday with the conspiracy hunter right here at WGNU 920 a.m.
Previously on the Sloan Ranger program.
How dare you create an argument for public health that exempts the casinos? You wouldn't do that. If we had an avian flu epidemic in St. Louis, would you exempt the casinos from those regulations?
Pretty good. No, you wouldn't.
Yeah, so it kind of betrayed the argument on its face.
For the smartest talk on radio, it's the Sloan Ranger Show, weekdays at 5 o'clock, only on AM 920 WGNU. The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Eye on the Lou. And just a heads up, there will be a community meeting on this, on Martin Luther King's birthday, also my birthday, on Monday at noon at the West End Community Center. That's Union and Del Mar. That's noon, Union and Del Mar. And also, Irene, we have our International Urban Institute meeting on Saturday at 1020 North Taylor at 9 o'clock. And folks need to come on down to that as well.
Exactly. And responding to the caller, there are people that believe that police officers do not lie, that they always tell the truth. I can recall when I did a great deal of criminal work, and a case would go to trial, it would be a jury trial. One of the questions that I would ask the jury, the potential jury, is there any member of the jury panel that believes that police officers always tell the truth? There are some people that believe that. But as has been pointed out, Tuesday morning, and Alderman Troop talked about it, and that is Mocha being on the scene and saying, this was a justified homicide.
Without any investigation.
Without any investigation. So then once the chief of police says that this was a justifiable homicide.
And the same guy who said only one bullet was fired.
Or at least is reported to have said that the victim was not shot, that Jeremy was not shot in his back. Who else in the police department? Someone else, an underling, so to speak, is going to say, well, I'm doing my independent and regardless of what the chief says, even though I'm under his command, I'm going to conclude to the contrary. So that puts the chilling effect on, wipes out any independent investigation of what is going on. And that is precisely why
I advised the family that we needed to get a pathologist to look at Jeremy's body. And Mokwa obviously didn't do any investigation when he tells the press, because somebody told me, well, Chief Mokwa says that the kid was shot as he turned to try to shoot the officer, and he was not, emphatically was not, shot in the back. And it just so happened that I had pictures, and I said he was absolutely shot in the back. He said, well, I mean, you couldn't know that. I said, I saw the body right as it was brought from the morgue. And you show people the pictures, and they like, oh, man, that's an execution. That's a hit. Because vital organs were hit. The body was fired on in very localized areas of the body.
And I have to say this also, when I was talking to a police officer about this, who was insisting that that it was not, I said, did you know that there were 14 shots in the body? No, I didn't know that. Did you know that the shots were localized? No, I didn't know that. Did you know that the shots were in such a way that it was clear this person wasn't running away from anybody or standing up? No, I didn't know that. So by Mokwa saying that this is justified homicide, justified shooting, when by Mokwa saying that there's no need, when he says that there's no need for an investigation, then the buck stops there and people believe what he says and go no further. And then enthusiastically and insistently say, nuh-uh, he had a gun and he was trying to shoot the cop. No, that's not what happened.
No investigation. Not by the statements of the witnesses, eyewitnesses that we spoke to. So here you have a chief, before there's an investigation, he's on the scene.
Saying no.
And he wasn't there, just like I wasn't there, and I'm basing what I'm saying based upon eyewitnesses who were there that I believe. Okay? And keep in mind that we have been engaging in a 10-day investigation trying to find witnesses so that we could know the truth, because that's how we start out. Said, we just want to know what happened. We want to know the truth. And we have done that, and we are continuing to do that, even though witnesses that said they would come forth and talk to us are now being intimidated.
Mm-hmm.
And it was reported to us that two of the witnesses say they can't talk. Their parent would not allow them to talk. She doesn't want anyone to know her address, because her kids went up to the station to talk to the police to tell them that Jeremy did not have a gun. They said they couldn't talk to them.
Because the police scared that bejesus.
Turned them away, told them to bring your parent back. Then a couple of days later, they were picked up by the police. Now these kids are scared to death, understand to be so, because Jeremy was murdered in broad daylight. He was pronounced dead at 12:09 p.m. by the medical examiner's office. He was shot 5 times in his back, kicked over, and shot several more times after that. But yet Mokwa says that this is a justifiable shooting.
And he said there was only one shot fired. And he said to the reporter, only one shot fired. And he also says, what Liz and Irene is saying over there, that's not true. Come on the air and dispute it.
He can't dispute it. It's not disputable.
Sam.
Liz, did anybody secure that tape where you had mentioned that the cop had said that didn't work?
Not yet.
And the other thing I wanted to ask you was, you have a resident cop as a host on the show there.
On the
station. And he had mentioned, there's a rush to judgment about the cops, what they had done, allegedly supposed to have done. And I had heard enough when he said that there, and I cut the radio off. And one other thing, let's not let them designate what our communities are. They're not high crime areas. They're community, because people live in them. They're only as bad as what the folks don't do their jobs allow them to be.
Thanks for your call.
Bye.
and one of the things I said yesterday is that is not a they. There was one police officer that did this shooting. Based on sources, his name is Nathaniel Burkhamper. I don't know that to be factually true, but based on sources, that is his name. It was not a they, other than they meaning the police department. It was one officer that unloaded his clip into Jeremy's body.
Into an unarmed child's body who was laid on the ground in a Christ-like position, face down in the dirt. He unloaded until he got tired. Barbara.
Good morning, Liz. This is horrendous. I was at the funeral as well, and I just wondered if we could ask the community, agreeing 100% with what you and Irene are saying, why don't we all make sure we get the facts before we point fingers at our children? Because a lot of times the information that originally comes out is false. And the other thing that was heart-wrenching to me was the way the service was pushed on beyond these children's emotional ability to deal with it. Like time is so of urgent, they can't grieve properly. If the person had been older, would they have done that? We got to be here, say it 50 times during the service, and for people not to stand up in unity with the children as they grieved Jeremy's song, like it wasn't, you know, even if you don't know the words, just to stand in unity with them. And why don't ministers take the opportunity when tragedies like this happen and invite the children to come back maybe 2 weeks later so they can come out in the church and have men there to talk to them? Use this as an opportunity to connect with our young people. And that's my comment.
Thank you, Barbara.
In fairness, there was a commitment made to the young people that they would be coming back to that exact church to come there to help them. That commitment was made. I certainly understand the thing about saying that we have to get to a certain place at a certain time. Those are realities of life when you're dealing with a burial, and particularly when you're going to certain burial sites. So I didn't have such a problem with that. I just think that I would have liked for some young people to have said some things. I would have liked for some of those elders in our community who had known Jeremy all of his life. I would have liked some of the people who signed the big card that they made at Langston Middle School, you know, for Jeremy's family. I would have liked to have seen some of them speak to really tell the story. So it's almost like, wow, we need to have a memorial service for Jeremy where the kids get the opportunity to do that.
You know what I would have liked? I would have liked to have seen some of the cops that were riding the perimeter of the church, just kind of looky-looing the kids. I would have liked for some of them to have stopped and had a conversation with the kids. Because the concern and the argument out here is that there aren't, everybody's not a bad cop, but what I'm feeling, particularly with the call that I got from Eddie Simmons yesterday, that there is this bunker mentality going on, that it's them against us, and we're going to be, because they talked about how, well, the kids were eyeballing us and not, well, then you're supposed to be a grown man, you're carrying a gun, what you scared of? Why don't you come in there and talk to some of those kids?
I have been eyeballed by children in our community, and what I do is treat them with the same respect that I would want. And I have been able to engage them. Some of the most, they say, you going to talk to them? Some of the most so-called ruthless children in our community, you know, you can engage them, maybe not all of them. We're not saying that everybody is all right, but nobody is all right. Just as every kid that wears red is not a so-called gang member, just like every police officer that wears a uniform is not an honorable cop.
That's right. There will be a town hall meeting on Monday at 12 o'clock at the West End Community Center. That's Del Mar and Union. Also, the International Urban Institute will be meeting on Saturday at 9 o'clock at 1020 North Taylor. Please come down. We have much business to tend to. We have much, much, much business to tend to. Irene, thank you so much.
Thank you, Liz.
Wow. We'll be back with Justice for Reggie. Stay with me.
Common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
That all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile.
The issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
The latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Alden.
It is clear that we need to change our strategy in Iraq.
The president laid out plans for the changes last night, including 20,000, at least 20,000 American servicemen and women going to Iraq. Some going back. The first group from Fort Campbell, Kentucky, is on the way. ABC's Aaron Katursky watched the president's address with some of their families.
The wives of 82nd Airborne Division soldiers who've already left for Iraq as part of the buildup say they support the president, but take no comfort in his words.
With him saying, you know, that we need to expect more civilian and military casualties, and that's a scary thing for us who just sent our husbands off just a week ago.
Or Karen Schaffner not knowing when or whether her husband, Lieutenant Colonel Al Schaffner, is coming home is the hardest part. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, Fayetteville, North Carolina.
How do you feel about the troop buildup? Many respondents to an ABC News Washington Post poll say it's a bad move.
The results of this survey underscore the depth of the challenge the president faces in reversing public skepticism on Iraq. 61% of Americans oppose his proposal for a surge in U.S. forces there. 58% continue to say the war was not worth fighting, essentially unchanged from a month ago. And nearly two-thirds still disapprove of how he's handling the situation in Iraq.
ABC News polling director Gary Langer, the survey has a 4.5% margin of error. With more troops going to Iraq, the overall military will have to get much bigger.
I am recommending to him a total increase in the two services of 92,000 soldiers and Marines over the next 5 years.
Defense Secretary Robert Gates with his recommendations. He just gave the president that comment made not too long ago. The Senate now gets a bill to raise the minimum wage. House voted yesterday to raise it $2.10 an hour over the next 2 years. Next up for the House, a bill to expand embryonic stem cell research. The outcome is expected to be the same as last year. It will pass, but not in all likelihood with a veto-proof margin. ABC News.
Okay, the top three reasons I'm using Behr paint to kick off my new year. Number three, painting a wall bitter chocolate makes me happy. Go figure. Number two, anyone can have a kind of red kitchen. I want really, really red. And the number one reason, I am not blah. My walls shouldn't be either.
Get deep, saturated color you can't find at other paint stores with Behr paint. Start your year off with amazing color this weekend, only at the Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
Class, welcome to Organization for Beginners. You're here to be more productive. This is a folder. What are some things you can put into folders?
Oh, expense reports.
Mm-hmm.
My wine cellar?
Unicorns.
I'm going to recommend a tutor for you two. Next are binder clips. I'll squeeze them open. Mr. Shaw, take the binder clip off your nose.
I sound funny.
How do I always get stuck with the executives? Class, you know what? Just go into Office Max. They've got everything you need to get your business life in order. Office Max will help you shape up.
Sunny Southern California is pretty cold this week with lows in the 20s. That's right, the 20s. Now there's somewhere people can go if they want to thaw out.
It rarely gets below freezing here in L.A., but this weekend forecasters say it will and well below 32 degrees. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger is ordering all National Guard armories opened up as warming centers, mainly for the homeless.
People should also take their own precautions to prepare for the cold. It is particularly important to monitor the health of those at risk, such as the elderly.
The governor calls it an extraordinary cold front hitting California. Forecasters believe it'll stick around for a few days. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
Now you figured it might be more convenient. You signed up with Google, Yahoo, or another company to have your work email forwarded to your home email. Your boss is worried, though, that you may leak some company secrets. So far, there haven't been any major problems, according to the search engines, but the experts agree it is risky, so talk to your boss before you sign up. Daria Alvinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, an elderly Centerville woman was found dead yesterday. Police say they found the body of 96-year-old Ruby Coney in her home. Authorities believe Coney was stabbed to death. Illinois State Police and Centerville Police are investigating the case. So far, they have no suspects. A federal appeals court is analyzing a capital punishment case in Missouri. The court suggests that a U.S. judge may have micromanaged Missouri corrections in detailing reforms to the state's lethal injection procedures. Attorney Ginger Anders, who represents convicted killer Michael Taylor, says the state can't be trusted to carry out executions humanely. A three-judge panel of the 8th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals heard arguments yesterday in the case. It has effectively halted capital punishment in the state. Mark McGuire might be losing more than a spot in the Hall of Fame this year. State Representative Talibdin El-Amin is proposing a bill that would rename Mark McGuire Highway for former State Senator John Bass. Bass was the first African-American city comptroller of St. Louis. The section of I-70 named after the former cardinal runs between Goodfellow and the Illinois state line. Finally this hour, the number of bald eagles in the area is down compared to recent years. The eagles are flocking to parts of Illinois and Missouri, but not in the same numbers as in the past because of the mild winter. Walter Crawford of the World Bird Sanctuary says that the bird count depends on the climate and what's going to happen up north. January and February are known as prime eagle-watching months, and several eagle-watching events are taking place over the next few weeks. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Westbound 5570 at 64 split all the way into PSB. Look for some slow traffic. Northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. That ramp is stacked up at this hour. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the 5570 split into the landing. Look for some delays at mid-span. Westbound 64 at Ball Avenue and the 5570 merge. Look for some slow traffic there. Eastbound 70 between Bryan Road and 79. Look for delays. Eastbound 40 from Timberlake Manor through Mason. Look for slow traffic. And then again from Spady through McKnight is slow as well. Northbound 94 at Mid Rivers. Look for an accident there. Eastbound 30 at Upper Burns Road. Look for an accident. And northbound 55 between Loughborough and 44, look for an accident cleared at Potomac, and the traffic starting to ease up this hour. 270 northbound between Dorset and 70 exits. Look for some delays on the 70 exits. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your weather for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. For today, mostly cloudy. Chance of rain this afternoon, high in the mid-50s. This evening, rain likely, low in the upper 30s. For Friday, occasional rain, high in the lower 50s. Temps will be falling into the 40s by the afternoon. Friday evening, rain likely, colder with a low in the lower 30s. And on Saturday, cloudy, colder, chance of rain and freezing rain in the morning and chance of rain in the afternoon with a high only in the upper 30s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 43 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 43 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. Justice for Reggie is on the way. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Peace all over the world.
Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can this
end? But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it.
Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal
dignity. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the 8 o'clock hour of the wake-up call. This is Justice for Reggie. My name is Liz Brown, and I'm here with Jamala Rogers. Jamala, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
And here we are again.
Here we are again. And with this being the first Reggie Thursday of the year, I really want to thank people for all the support in 2006 and look forward to a year of creating a justice-seeking community here in St. Louis. And as we see, starting the year off, that's going to be a challenge given the way that our police department operates and our court system. But I also would like to extend my sympathy to the family of Larry Griffin. And people remember we've talked about Larry Griffin. He was wrongfully executed in 1995, and his case has been being investigated by the Circuit Attorney's Office for the last year and a half. And the brother of Larry Griffin succumbed to a valiant fight against cancer last week, and it would have been really appropriate for him to have left this world, Liz, knowing that his brother's name had been cleared. But still no word from that office about the conclusion. Jennifer Joyce's office about the conclusion of that investigation. So the family is grieving for yet another son, brother, nephew, uncle, and we extend our sympathy to the Griffin family.
And I think it's important to always underline the name of this hour. It is Justice for Reggie, and that's what this battle is all about. It's about justice.
It's about justice, and that word seems to have a very narrow definition, but I think one of the things we try to do on the show, Liz, is expand that definition in terms of what it really means. What are the different layers of the criminal justice system that people need to be aware of, to be informed about? And we've actually taken it way beyond just the Chain of Rocks Bridge murders, because every incident has so many ringing similarities to the Chain of Rocks case. It may not have all of those ugly elements, as you call it, the most, you know, egregious elements of the perfect storm, but certainly you see again and again, even with the kind of guest speakers that we've had, you know, the whole thing about, you know, bad legal counsel, you know, a gross, you know, misconduct on the case on the part of the prosecutors. You have, you know, police brutality and forced confessions. I mean, all of those things we hear again and again in these various cases.
And we're going to be back. We have a guest this morning. We're going to be talking to our guests when we come back. This is Justice for Reggie Thursday. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. Stay with us.
Get a free Razor cell phone delivered free to your door. Don't want a free Razor? Then go to letstalk17.com and choose from hundreds of other free phones. Join 500,000 users who found the smartest way to buy their cell phones. Never pay retail again. At letstalk17.com, you can compare prices on phones and service plans from all the major carriers. Find the coolest new phone at the coolest price. Find the best current special offers. Read what folks have to say about their phones and plans. They actually rate and review their phones and service plans so you know which ones to pick. Do it all in the comfort of your own home. If your plan is ending, now's your chance. Try your new phone risk-free for 7 days with free 48-hour shipping. Letstalk17.com is the only way to get the absolute best deal possible. Right now, get a free Razor after $50 mail-in rebate. This is an exclusive online offer at Letstalk17.com. New 2-year service plan agreement required. One-time wireless activation and early termination fees may apply. Go to Letstalk17.com. That's Letstalk17.com.
Hi, this is Connie Mitchell, co-host of Women Inspiring Women's Authors on the Air. Each Friday, my co-host Liz Tanz and I explore the world of writing and interview local and not-so-local authors. We discuss relevant, timely, and occasionally controversial subjects. So come hear just what it takes to write a book and learn something new along with us. Who knows? You might find a new favorite author. That's Authors on the Air, Fridays from 1 to 2 on AM 920 WGNU.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Justice for Reggie Thursday. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. My name is Liz Brown. This show, of course, is archived every week at WhiteRoseSociety.org. In fact, all 4 hours of the wake-up call archived every day at WhiteRoseSociety.org. It's also, the show is also broadcast live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. With all of the things that are going on, they're just constantly, there's so many things that are going on. Something happened yesterday that I'd like for you to share with the audience, and a hearing took place.
A hearing took place yesterday in the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals. It was the oral arguments in the Michael Taylor case, and as many people know, Michael was within hours of being executed by the state of Missouri, and that execution was held up based on a legal challenge around the constitutionality of the lethal injection. It was a packed courtroom yesterday, and I think the attorneys of Michael Taylor really argued their case well, and
Jay Nixon there?
Jay Nixon was not there. I don't know if he had some folks there in the audience there, but one of the things that we kept saying is go there so you could see the process here, the debate, so that it is a learning experience. But I thought the questions that the panel of judges asked the state of Missouri indicated to me that they were not quite comfortable with turning this process of killing people over to the state.
What were some of the questions?
Well, one of the questions was, and it was in a tone of incredulousness, is you came here before assuring us again and again that the facts of the case was that those executions were being administered in a safe and humane way. And now we found out that it's not. So how are we supposed to believe now?
You lied to us, and now why are we supposed to believe you now?
Exactly.
Okay, breaking it down.
Right.
You lied to us. Why are we supposed to believe you now?
And the other part about it is the state wants to maintain Dr. Dierhoff.
Shut up.
And so, again, the question was, how are we going to trust that this man, who they're still calling Dr. Doe, John Doe, is capable and is going to follow the prescription of the judge.
And so, it's surprising that nobody cussed up on the bench. How the H-E double toothpicks are you asking us to keep this guy on who's admittedly dyslexic, admittedly did willy-nilly just experimented on people with the amount of stuff that he shot in, and you're saying keep this guy on the job when hospitals won't hire this guy, but we're supposed to keep this guy on the job. That's what you're asking us?
Yeah.
Oh, good Lord.
So their case didn't sound too strong.
Good Lord.
Probably if they had gotten rid of him and argued something else, they might have gotten over. But
they picked their strongest arguments, and that's what they were. And that's what you argue what you got.
You argue what you have. And so when they closed out, it was like what I was hearing was that the state may need some supervision.
Ouch. We have some guests with us this morning. We have David Elbaum and John Anderson. They're with Simpson, Thatcher, and Bartlett in New York, and These are
Reggie's attorneys, part of the legal team, and they are going to be talking about the oral arguments, as well as the fact that they filed a motion last year on behalf of Reggie and some other inmates around lethal injection.
Gentlemen, good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us on this morning.
And I am almost stupefied listening to Jamala talk about the arguments that the state made to the court yesterday. What's your response to their arguments? Was it an act of desperation? Is that all they had?
Well, you know, I think that there were a number of points that the state was making. They have not really said what they want to do. They don't want to preclude themselves from using the same doctor again, and they've just left it unclear, and I think intentionally so. What their intentions will be. They've expressed some inability to find an alternate doctor.
And that inability is due to what? Resistance on the part of the medical community?
There is a resistance on the part of the medical community. There have been statements by leaders in the anesthesiology associations stating that you know, it is not ethical within the association's view for doctors to participate in executions. And that's the position that the state has taken in challenging the judge's order requiring the participation of a doctor with anesthesiology training.
And you filed a motion over a year ago on this very issue, and it was before you found out about Dr. Death, isn't it?
Yes.
And what were some of the elements of the motion that you filed?
Well, just to give a little more background and answer your question, we filed our case last spring at the time when Michael Taylor's case had been sent back to Judge Gaitan for further proceedings. And we raised very similar claims to the ones that Mr. Taylor had raised, challenging the way that the drugs were administered, challenging the particular medical procedures that were used. And then Judge Gaitan ruled that the process followed in Mr. Taylor's case was unconstitutional and put all executions on hold. The state came back with a written protocol that they claim and argued yesterday satisfy the flaws that Judge Gaitan had identified. And our case really has been on hold since we filed it,
right.
Because we've been waiting to see the result in the Taylor case, both before Judge Gaitan and now yesterday before the Court of Appeals. We're waiting to hear what happens.
So what are the possibilities of what can happen?
There's a range from the Court of Appeals could affirm Judge Gaitan's ruling in its entirety, and then the injunction would stand until the state could satisfy Judge Gaitan's requirements. And then alternatively, the court could find that some of the requirements imposed by Judge Gaitan are not necessary to meet the constitutional legal standards. And, you know, there are any number of permutations of what could be allowed by the Eighth Circuit or what could be cut back. So it's difficult to say at this point what the ultimate outcome will be.
Do we have kind of a time frame on when we can expect the court to make their decision, or is that up in the air as well?
That's up in the air. You know, it, typically appeals can take a matter of several months to be decided. I think that the court would treat this case and may, you know, with some expedition, but I don't know exactly how fast they intend to rule. If there are a number of complex legal and factual issues in play.
And in terms of the issues that you raise, even though your motion has not been heard, is on hold, as you say, are some of the things that you raise, are you seeing some of those issues played out in this motion?
Absolutely. I mean the claims that we raised really were very similar to what Mr. Taylor raised in terms of.
For example.
For example, one of the medical procedures that we challenged was that instead of using an IV in the individual's arm, they used a very invasive procedure where they would cut into the inmate's leg in the groin area to access a femoral line. And that process we claimed was unnecessarily painful and violated the Constitution. You know, there were some, in response to Judge Gaitan's order, the state has backed away to some degree from the use of that process.
And David, haven't we found that in many instances across the country where they use the femoral vein, that was a source of, you know, excessive bleeding and complications, and that's one of the reasons why it's being included in the legal challenge?
Well, I think that's right. We've done some research into that when we filed this complaint and talked to some experts and got the picture that is a very invasive procedure that is subject to any number of complications, and it is not necessary to the purposes that the state is looking to achieve there. So I think our position on that in the complaint was that it is one of a host of things that creates an undue risk of extreme pain and suffering in the process.
Well, have you been able to do any kind of historical analysis of this? Who thought that up? Where did that idea come from? Because, I mean, I'm just sitting here cringing at the thought of such a procedure when, if you were going to do it, why wouldn't you put it in the vein in your arm? Do we know where it came from?
You know, one of the problems with the lethal injection process generally in Missouri and nationally is that it has been traditionally shrouded with a great deal of secrecy.
Mm.
And the protocols have been developed to the extent they've been, you know, actually memorialized in writing. They've been generally developed on more of an ad hoc basis by the particular commissioner of corrections in the various states. So it's difficult to say precisely where the one particular procedure came from.
But it just seems so cruel. It just seems so unnecessarily cruel. Our number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. We're talking to attorneys David Elbaum and John Anderson with Simpson, Thatcher, and Bartlett. They are the attorneys representing Reginald Clemens. We will be back to talk further about the lethal injection. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Eastbound 40 from Timberlake Manor through Mason, look for slow traffic, and again through Spady and McKnight. You've got some slow traffic going on there. Northbound 270 at Gravois and Big Bend, and at the 44 overpass, look for some delays in that intersection there. Westbound Martin Luther King Bridge traffic from the 5570 split through, the landing looks good. Westbound 64 at the 270, or westbound 40 at the 270 and Mason Road. Look for some delays there. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry through New Florissant. You've got some traffic easing up this hour. 270 northbound between Dorset and 70. Look for some delays as you get onto the 70 exit there. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park to 270, look for no problems to report. There is an accident at Highway 30 and Upper Burns Mill, and also at 94 and Mid Rivers Mall Drive. So just use caution and slow down, give yourself a break. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. Mostly cloudy, chance of rain this afternoon, high in the mid-50s. This evening, rain likely, low in the upper 40s. Friday, high in the lower 50s. Occasional rain with temps falling into the 40s in the afternoon. Friday evening rain likely, colder, low in the lower 30s. And Saturday colder, cloudy, chance of rain and freezing rain in the morning, then chance of rain in the afternoon with a high only in the upper 30s. Currently we have 44 degrees under cloudy skies. Lambert Fields reporting clouds as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call that's up next. It's Riveting Talk Radio that's on the way. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
What America needs is affordable health insurance. Finding affordable health insurance for you and your family, it's on everyone's mind right now. If you're self-employed, it's on your mind too. One of the things we face as entrepreneurial Americans is finding affordable health insurance. Well, I've found a company you can call right now and get affordable health insurance. Midwest National Life Insurance Company of Tennessee. Write this number down. 877-652-7793. That's 877-652-7793. Midwest specializes in helping entrepreneurs of all kinds. Those of us who run small businesses or don't get health insurance where we work, to protect our families with affordable health insurance. Call 877-652-7793. Not available in all states. Association membership is required in most states. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Exclusions and limitations apply.
Do you feel confident about your money? If you're not sure, then join me, David Gaines, each Thursday morning from 11 to noon as we discuss the issues that affect your money on It's Your Money, presented by Heartland Bank. We'll have insightful guests discussing the topics that affect your money. That's Thursday mornings from 11 to noon for It's Your Money on 920 WGNU.
Securities offered through Securities America, Incorporated, member NASD SIPC. David Gaines, representative. Heartland Bank and Securities America are unaffiliated. Securities have no bank guarantees and are not FDIC insured and may lose value.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to Justice for Reggie Thursday. My name is Liz Brown. I am here with Jamala Rogers, and our guests this hour are David Elbaum. He's an attorney, as well as John Anderson, attorney with Simpson, Thatcher, and Bartlett, joining us from New York. And we're talking about the lethal injection and the hearing that was yesterday. And Jamala, when you were at the hearing yesterday and there were all those people there, what kind of responses were people making after the hearing? What were people saying afterwards?
Well, afterwards, people felt like the questions that were asked by at least two of the three-judge panel were encouraging. And in fact, the last comment that was made by the judge was that even though it would be highly unusual for the court to oversee a process like this, that the history of the process may require that. Mm-hmm. So it left us to wonder if, in fact, that even though they might soften up on the requirements for a medical person being there that had anesthesiology background, that they would still oversee the process. And so that in one sense was encouraging, but the other place that there was some movement was around whether or not that Judge Catan had the right to require such a high standard in terms of a physician that had anesthesiology background, because it's almost, according to the state, almost impossible to find. Either you have a physician or you have a nurse anesthetist, or you rarely have a doctor who has that background that's not anesthesiologist.
And how do you respond to that, John or David? How do you respond to that statement by the state that the standards are too high and the judge doesn't have the authority to establish such high standards of a physician?
Well, I think primarily what we'd say is that the state has chosen to use a complex medical procedure that does create substantial risks of excruciating pain, and having chosen a complex medical procedure, they should be required to use individuals who have appropriate training in the process and who understand the risks and potential ways to avoid those risks, to make sure that the process, the medical process that they've selected, is done in an appropriate and lawful manner.
What about the authority of the judge to establish those types of standards? How would you respond to that argument?
The record that was developed before Judge Gaitan showed that the process was not being handled appropriately, and that there were substantial lapses in controls. The protocol that the state assured Judge Gaitan was being followed was in fact not being followed, and the judge, in our view, stepped in and appropriately imposed restrictions to ensure that the past practices are not repeated, and that going forward the process is done in a constitutional manner, and in our view, the judge applied the correct legal standard. There was, as Jamala mentioned, there was some debate yesterday as to whether or not the definition of the requirements under the Constitution were correctly stated by Judge Gaitan. In our view, they were.
Let me get to a caller or two here. Dr. Kincaid, good morning.
Oh, good morning, Liz. I just wanted to make a few comments. The procedure that you were talking about where you cut the skin before inserting the IV is called a cut-down, and that's done at times where you have difficulty accessing a source of circulation, a vein. So that's why that's done.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing is that any anesthesiologist or physician who's board certified and graduated from a medical school and done their training, and who has taken the Hippocratic Oath, which is an oath that all of us take, is and if you're serious about being a physician, we take an oath that says first do no harm. So anyone, the St. Louis Medical Society has written an article that I'll fax to you about that. To get an anesthesiologist or someone that's board certified, we're not trained to kill, we're trained to heal people. So anyone that you get to do that is not going to be somebody that takes their profession seriously.
And that's an excellent point. With respect to this procedure, because I have to go back to it, why would you start with that procedure, Dr. Kincaid? I mean, why wouldn't you start with trying to locate the vein in the arm as opposed to going straight for the cutting open the leg and then locating that other vein?
I would suspect that they probably first are trying to do that. They're first trying to do that. But in a case where you have some people that are really difficult to locate veins in the arm, and then depending on what medication you're giving and the amount you're giving, you know, you have to find a port that's large enough to give the amount of medicine. I don't know the amount of medicine
and the size of the vessel
that you would need to access. But if you have somebody that has difficult veins to access, if at any time they use drugs, or they might be obese, or they might not even be obese. Some people are just difficult sticks. And the femoral vein is a huge vein.
It's easy to access.
I don't know why you'd have to cut down a femoral. If you have to cut down a femoral, then you have a really difficult stick.
Thank you.
You could do cut downs on the legs, on the arms, and different parts of the body. But you don't do a cut down unless you have somebody that you can't just get your catheter in fairly easily.
Thank you, Dr. Kincaid. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks. You're welcome.
And when you listen to Dr. Kincaid talking, doesn't it, when you hear her say that, you know, what kind of physician that would you be that you would be willing to be part of it because you are in direct violation of the Hippocratic Oath, that speaks to the challenge of continuing this death process, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It absolutely does, and it's a point that has been made repeatedly.
And I can recall even in a statement that the president of the Anesthesiology Association said, it was very clear that they had not been, as a society, consulted on the process from the very beginning. And so their response was, don't call on us now, because you didn't call us when you were developing the protocol. And I think that's absolutely appropriate, because now that they're in hot water, now they need the expertise of somebody out of that profession, and they have chose to stand down, and rightfully so.
And David, can you speak to some of the other issues that you all have raised in your motion, even though we haven't had a chance to hear it yet, that are consistent, or it hasn't had a chance to be heard, that are consistent with some of the issues that were raised yesterday?
But the central claim is that there's a risk that the first drug, which is an anesthetic, will not be administered in a sufficient dose so that it takes full effect before the following medications, which are the ones, particularly the last medication, which causes a very painful heart attack and actually results in death, that the anesthesia will not have taken effect, and that the inmate will in fact feel the excruciating pain.
Excuse me?
Yeah, sorry. That issue is similar to what was raised by Mr. Taylor, and that issue is something that the state has, claims that it has addressed in its revised protocol, to put into effect new written procedures as to how the medicine, how the anesthesia is administered, certain delays to allow it to take an effect. The state argued that they put in place a step for monitoring that the inmate has been anesthetized. All those issues are exactly the same as in our case, and you know, we're one of the reasons that our case is on hold is because we need to determine once we see what happens with the Taylor case where our case will proceed.
And we have to take a break. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. This is Justice for Reggie Thursday. Our guests are David Elbaum and John Anderson, attorneys with Simpson, Thatcher, and Bartlett. Joining us from New York, they are Reggie Clemens, part of Reggie Clemens' legal team. We're talking about the lethal injection. Stay with us. Mall to visit your Sears, why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else, where else indeed. Hometown sale, that's right. 10% off of all regular and sale price home appliances starting today. Plus 6 months, no interest, no payments on any appliance. Over $399 with your Sears card. That's if you get it with your Sears card. Look, get on down to Sears right there at Union and Natural Bridge. The hometown sale is awaiting you. No interest, no payment until January 8th on fitness equipment. You know you need some fitness equipment over $299 with if you purchase. Purchase it with your Sears card. Get on down to Sears. Tell them I told you to.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care. Still connected to the community.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Justice for Reggie Thursday. I am here with Jamala Rogers. My name is Liz Brown. And we also have guests joining us from New York, from Simpson, Thatcher, and Bartlett, David Elbaum and John Anderson, attorneys with Simpson, Thatcher, and Bartlett. And Jamala, one of the things you wanted to talk to was the phone call that Dr. Rosa Kincaid.
Yeah, I was saying during the break that in a lot of the protocols, the femoral vein is the first vein, and so they don't even look for another vein. Although they would claim that in some cases, particularly if there was a drug user who whose veins have collapsed over the years from drug abuse, but in many cases, they start off with a femoral vein and it's unnecessary. So I wanted John and David to respond to that, as well as what do you think the impact is going to be on the fact that they've shut down the executions in Florida and in California as a result of some of these issues that have continued to persist?
First, on the femoral vein, as I understood the practice in Missouri before this litigation started and there was new public scrutiny that was able to be brought to light, the process did go straight to the femoral vein, and that was the first choice and only choice.
And cutting to get to the femoral vein.
That's my understanding of how the process works. That's correct. In response to Judge Guyton's order, the state issued a protocol which is no longer makes the femoral vein the first choice. It's unclear to me how extensive the search will be for an alternative in practice, but I believe the state said yesterday at the argument that's not going to be the first vein that they try to access. In terms of the national debate, I do think that the case in Missouri is part of a broader national review of these issues. Governor Bush in Florida imposed a moratorium and appointed a commission to review the process and the procedure used there. It's my understanding that there are some medical experts that were included in that panel. So there may be some medical experience and knowledge that's brought to bear in the development of where Florida goes from here.
But that was a particularly egregious case. Could you let the audience know a little bit about what happened in Florida?
As I understand that, there was an Angel Diaz case, and what I understand went wrong was that the initial injection and the flow of drug was essentially too deep. It went not into the vein but into the underlying tissue, so that when the injection of the drugs did begin, they did not circulate as intended, but rather kind of piled up under the tissue and didn't take their effect, which left the inmate there in a great deal of pain without, you know, the execution proceeding. So,
and it took over 30 minutes, didn't it?
It did. As I recall, it took about 34 minutes, and I'm sure it was an excruciatingly painful 34 minutes for Mr. Diaz.
Did we also have the problems with who administered it? Were there doctors that were administering this? Do you know?
I don't know for sure, but I believe I don't know for sure. I think the answer is no, but I'm not positive on that, because there was some mention of it at the hearing yesterday that, when this happened, there was, in Florida, there was not someone trained who could immediately recognize the problem and immediately take appropriate steps. Mm. It took them some time to realize that there was a problem and figure out how to handle it. And that was part of the delay. And, it led to a moratorium and further review in Florida.
How optimistic are both of you after the hearing yesterday?
That's a very, very difficult question, especially, and this is one thing that I did want to add for your listeners who are interested in following along. The hearing is now, a tape of the hearing is now available on the court's website. So we were able to listen to it, but we could not, see the read any body language. So it's always difficult as lawyers to speculate that.
Well, John Kennedy and Richard Nixon, their debates. You know, when you saw them, it was one thing, and when you heard it, it's another thing.
Exactly. That's a very good analogy. And, you know, so we're optimistic that significant parts of the new of Judge Gaetan's order will be upheld, but it's really difficult to determine where the court's going to go completely.
But you had to be liking some of the questions that they were asking, the judges were asking.
Absolutely. There was definitely some, the Court of Appeals, the judges noted that Judge Gaetan was rightfully frustrated that he had been told certain things, and then in one instance, the very next day, the state came back and said, no, we were wrong. The state's lawyer apologized for that, but the fact remains that
because it's the job of they're supposed to know. When you come in front of a judge and you say this is this, and you're supposed to have done all of your due diligence, all of your work to make certain that the this that you're saying is this.
Absolutely, that's the lawyer's job, is to interview and investigate, and for whatever reason, and we don't know exactly how the state went about preparing for the hearing, so I can't speak to that, but it's clear that the initial presentation to Judge Gaetan was not factually accurate.
Wow, and that's a big deal, especially with the Court of Appeals and federal judges. They don't you don't play with them like that.
No, Jamala,
did you have any questions?
No, I just was nodding my head because, as I said, the questions that were being asked, it was clear that they were, in essence, you know, what I picked up was that, you know, you all have proven to be incompetent, and so why should we trust you with this process still, given the history and given the misinformation and given the facts of the case? And then I can recall one of the attorneys saying, well, you know, Dr. John Doe, it's okay now. The time that he had a problem with wrong dosages is when he couldn't open up a package and match up the dosage with whatever, and we were all looking at each other like, what? So, I mean, it's not funny because here's somebody that's in charge of, you know, killing somebody, and they don't even know how to do that. So it really almost seemed to be such an incredulous thing. And for me and others in the courtroom who are death penalty opponents, just hearing it and hearing even the court discuss ways of killing people better, it's just fundamentally against your whole, you know, value system. So, you know, it's a place where the struggle is right now in terms of the death penalty. And so to the extent that you raise those issues of humanity and constitutionality, we have to do that. But overall, I just think that it's so out of line with what, you know, many of us believe and feel.
I want to take this time to thank both of you, David Elbaum and John Anderson with Simpson, Thatcher & Bartlett in New York. Thank you so much for joining us on Justice for Reggie today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much. And
thank you for continuing to have Jamala and other guests and your continuing support of the cause for justice. We appreciate it very much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks.
You too.
And Liz, we just want to remind people that we will be marching in the Dr. King parade on Monday. We'll have a Reggie banner. We'll be, you know, selling our buttons. And so we hope to see people at 9 o'clock a.m. down at the old courthouse.
And also there will be a town hall meeting on the murder of Jeremy Lamont Robinson, born on January 9th, 1991, buried on his birthday, murdered by a cop. And that's going to be at the West End Center at Union and Del Mar at noon on Martin Luther King's birthday and my birthday, January 15th. Thank you, Jamala.
Thank you.
See you next week.
All right.
All right, and I'll be back in the next hour. Stay with me.
If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
Revolution in the air, till the brothers stop listening. truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
That all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Latest from ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. Last night, he laid out the plans. Today, President Bush begins the sales pitch. He's traveling to Georgia's Fort Benning to explain why he's sending over 21,000 additional troops to Iraq. The first are on their way from Fort Campbell, Kentucky. ABC's Aaron Katursky watched last night's address with some of their families.
The future of many families here hinges on the president's new plan. Judy Tomlinson, whose husband, Sergeant Major Jim Tomlinson, is among the first troops going into Iraq under the buildup, heard no timetable in the president's speech, so she is prepared for a long absence.
When he's home, I'll believe it when
yes.
I see it.
Advanced troops from the 82nd Airborne Base at Fort Bragg are already on the ground in Iraq. Many of them, ABC News has learned, will live in dangerous neighborhoods, close to the fight, a constant worry for their families here. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, Fayetteville, North Carolina.
The presidential candidates announced and otherwise are weighing in on the buildup. Former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani, a possible GOP contender, says he's for it.
We have to try this, and I think we have to give the president support. And the change in strategy makes sense to me.
Not Illinois Senator Barack Obama, who's considering a run for the Democratic nomination.
What I did not see from the president was any recognition that there is not a military solution to the problems that we face in Iraq right now. They're political.
With more troops heading to Iraq, the overall military must grow, too.
There has been bipartisan support recently for building up the size of the standing Army and Marine Corps, which have been stretched too thin by 4 years of war. Defense Secretary Gates is recommending to President Bush recruitment of an additional 7,000 soldiers each year and 5,000 additional Marines, all quite separate from troop levels deployed in Iraq.
ABC's Ann Compton at the White House. A workplace shooting in Indianapolis has wounded 4 people. A suspect is now in custody. Police say it happened at a packaging business that employs the disabled. This is ABC News.
Top 3 reasons my house is getting a new look for the new year. Number 3, my resolution was brand new carpet. Oh, well, and no more pie. Number 2, we said we'd get a new kitchen someday. Oh, look, it's someday. And number 1, I could lose weight, but I'd rather lose the lime green tile in the bathroom.
Keep all your home improvement resolutions with special deferred financing on purchases store-wide with your Home Depot or Expo Consumer Credit Card. You can do it. We can help. Offer valid through 115 in U.S. only. See store for details.
Class, welcome to Organization for Beginners. You're here to be more productive. This is a folder. What are some things you can put into folders?
Oh, expense reports.
Mm-hmm.
My wine cellar?
Unicorns.
I'm going to recommend a tutor for you two. Next are binder clips. I'll squeeze them open. Mr. Shaw, take the binder clip off your nose.
I sound funny.
How do I always get stuck with the executives? Class, you know what? Just go into Office Max. They've got everything you need to get your business life in order. Office Max will help you shape up.
He disappeared. Now an escape artist can watch his money vanish. Here's ABC's Brett Farrell.
In October, during a celebration in Key West, escape artist Michael Patrick did a backflip into water 35 feet deep. When he didn't surface, several audience members jumped in. Unable to find him, they summoned help and a 2-day search ensued. Police found Patrick with his girlfriend the next day planning his reappearance. A judge has ordered Patrick to pay $60,000 restitution to the Coast Guard and local and state agencies that helped with the search. Brad Farrell, ABC News.
The Girl Scouts kicked off their annual cookie sale, and you'll find something missing from your next box. Trans fat, all of them, even the Thin Mints won't have it anymore. Now, if they could just eliminate the calories, you should still enjoy them in moderation. Someone in Colorado is about to collect his second big lottery prize. The Pueblo man hit for almost $3.5 million last month. He won a $1.3 million jackpot in 2003. At that point, he said he was about a week away from filing for bankruptcy. Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, two men are hospitalized after a high-speed police chase ended in a crash. Calverton Park police say they started chasing a stolen SUV in North St. Louis County and followed it over the Chain of Rocks Bridge into Madison County, Illinois. Police say the car went the wrong way on an exit ramp and crashed head-on into another car. The driver and a passenger in the SUV are hospitalized. Two women in the SUV and the driver of the other car were not seriously hurt. A carpenter is injured after a fall at Laclede's Landing. The 31-year-old worker fell two stories at the Pinnacle Casino construction site. He was taken to the hospital for a possible knee injury, but the extent of his injuries is unknown. The incident is still under investigation. The Cardinals re-signed a member of their starting rotation yesterday. Left-handed pitcher Mark Mulder agreed to a two-year $13 million deal with St. Louis, which includes a club option for 2009. Mulder is recovering from late summer rotator cuff surgery, and it's unclear exactly when he will be able to pitch again. The Cards also signed right-hander Ryan Franklin to a one-year contract and inked minor league deals with Rick Ankiel and Gilbert Cabrera. Finally this hour, one of the stars of the TV show The Munsters has died. Yvonne DiCarlo passed away on Monday of natural causes at the age of 84. DiCarlo played Moses' wife in The Ten Commandments, but achieved her greatest fame in the mid-60s as Lily Munster. The Munsters only lasted 2 years, but had a long life in syndication and even spawned two feature movies. Longtime friend and television producer Kevin Burns says that she'll also be remembered as one of the great glamour queens of the 40s and 50s. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at your traffic and your weather. Westbound 255 at Jefferson Barracks and Coke Bridge, look for a medical emergency near Coke Road. It's on the right shoulder. Eastbound 70 at West Florissant and O'Fallon, look for that accident been cleared. That's around O'Fallon Park and traffic starting to ease up this hour. Westbound 5570 onto the Poplar Street Bridge is starting to loosen up. Westbound Kingbridge traffic into downtown is looking good. Eastbound 70 is looking good from Mid Rivers Mall Drive on in. Northbound 270 around the 44 interchange is looking well. And you may see some slight delays at northbound 270 at the 70 exits as you're getting into these Highway 70 exchanges there. Eastbound 40 is looking good from the Boone Bridge into 270. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. Breezy, mostly cloudy, chance of rain this afternoon with a high in the mid-50s this evening. Rain likely with a low in the upper 40s. Friday, occasional rain, highs in the lower 50s. Temps will be falling into the 40s. And then Saturday, colder, cloudy, chance of rain and freezing rain in the morning, and chance of rain in the afternoon with a high in the upper 30s. Currently, we have clouds and 42 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting clouds and 42 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Revolution!
say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. And if you want to email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. revolution@lizbrown.com. Get up, and get to me. I watched Boy George do his thing last night, a 20-minute ADD presentation. Lord, watching him read from the teleprompter was a interesting life experience and a scary one. He's saying, trust me, I want more troops. I made a mistake not having enough troops last time. I'm going to make certain that I have enough troops this time. Scary. This man who wants us to believe him, the same man who is trying to get your internet provider to keep track of every website that you visit. We have much, much, much to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. For more than a year, the United States Justice Department has been in discussions with internet companies, privacy rights folks, trying to come up with a plan that would make it easier for them to check what websites you visit. Oh, we have a lot to talk about. My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back. Stay with me.
Put meeting the love of your life at the top of your list.
New Year's Eve day, I said, I'm ready for eHarmony. I decided I really wanted to find a long-term relationship.
Hi, this is Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. There's no experience more magical than falling in love with that one person in the world that sees you, accepts you, and loves you passionately for who you really are.
He loves me for me.
She sees me more for who I really am.
Being seen and loved for who I am is incredible.
eHarmony helped me find the love of my life.
Make this the year that it happens for you. Check out eHarmony.com and see if it feels comfortable to you. Do it now and get your personality profile free. Let's get started finding your soulmate today.
eHarmony.com, because it shouldn't take a lifetime to find the love of your life.
This will be an everlasting love for me.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920. WGNU discusses the issues that matter most to you every day. And if you have a relationship problem with a friend, coworker, or family member, it really matters to me. So call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DRLAURA. Tune in every Monday through Friday afternoon from 2 until 4 and take on the day with me, Dr. Laura, on AM 920 WGNU.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Grandma's hands used to hand me a piece of candy. Grandma's hands picked me up each time I fell.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Yes, Liz.
Yes.
Hey, on the doctors, they're trying to find doctors to do these executions. It seems like they could get any pro-abortion doctor who goes against their Hippocratic oath anyway, you know, and kills babies. It seems like any of those doctors would do it.
Well, I think the difference, Gary, would be that the doctors that perform abortions, there is a discussion and there is a debate and there is a difference of opinion on when life begins.
Let me finish, Gary.
So when we're talking about why or whether or not a person is committing murder with respect to an abortion, then we have to talk about when does life begin. And there are people, good-willed people, reasonable people that differ on that. And so, but when you have a actual human being out of the womb lying in front of you, it's not so much of a mystery of when life begins, because life is already here.
Doctor,
beg your pardon?
Dr. Tiller over in Kansas does the 8th and 9th month abortions. He may be a good candidate.
And if a doctor believes that I have to choose between saving one life or another, and doctors do that all of the time, and I'll give you an example of triage. When you have patients in triage, two emergencies come into the room, you only have one doctor to deal with one person, a doctor is making a life or death decision, but that's not the same type of a decision of I am intentionally trying to kill this person. Doctors make life and death decisions all of the time, but that's a far cry from a doctor saying, I want to make certain that the actions that I engage in kill this human being. There's a difference.
No.
Yeah.
Really.
Well. Yeah. Well. Actually, yes. Really, there is because a doctor that is making a decision on whether on what to do with, as you said, an eight or nine month old child. Then that doctor is making at 8 or 9 months. Sure. Sure. There's no question about
legal, right?
No. That's a child. There's no question about that. At 8 or 9. No. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying when I'm attempting to have a civil conversation with somebody that doesn't know a lot. The fact of the matter is that doctors make decisions, life and death decisions, all the time, Gary. But a doctor that says that I am going to walk into this room and kill somebody intentionally is a doctor. For no reason other than to kill them. I'm not trying to save the life of somebody else. I'm not trying to do that. And I differ with where life begins. It's a whole different cry. That's why you can't find a doctor that would do that. And the doctor that you would find that says, yeah, give me a way, I'm going to go find a needle and I'm going to find a way to make certain that this person dies, that's not a doctor that you want to operate in on you. At all. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Liz.
Yusef, good morning.
Happy New Year to you.
Happy 007.
Yes. Liz, it's a tragic situation in St. Louis right now. And, you know, I'm reaching out to, you know, all parties concerned right now, you know, and especially, you know, Officer Bergkamper, as it were, you know, reconcile yourself with God, Officer Bergkamper, because that's the only person that can save you right now. I mean, man can't do anything for you. Man can promise you this, that, and the other, but only God can save your spirit from going to, you know, either or. And what I mean by either or is, you know, heaven or hell, and that's it, you know. You know, admit that you were sorry. Same way with, you know, the president. Admit that you were wrong with what you did and what you did, because there was no weapons of mass destruction. There was no link to Al-Qaeda at all with Saddam's government in Iraq. Admit that you were wrong about the whole thing. That's the only thing that can save you now. You understand what I'm saying?
I absolutely hear what you're saying.
This is all that we got, and this is all that we know. And so for man to believe in man, you're falsifying yourself. You're falsely believing in something that ain't true. Reconcile with God. That's the only way.
Thanks.
Sister, I'm going to talk to you later. You know, be strong and, you know, just keep the faith.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Liz. How you doing?
Good morning.
Okay. These conservatives talk about how abortion is wrong and all that. But if you look at it another way, when you send innocent troops over to Iraq to kill Iraqis, isn't that committing abortion? And when you cut off funds for people to get educated, is that now abortion? Because that's showing the life of innocent people.
Well, there you go. There you go. Okay, Michael.
Thank you.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to attend to. I look at the world that we are living in right now. I look at the world that we're living in right now, and I'm constantly amazed. I'm excited to see so many people bumping back against wrong, you know, bumping back. when you see people that are gathered at outside of the White House when George called for more innocent lives to be put in harm's way. You saw American citizens bumping back in their response to that outside with their signs and their marching and their action. That's bumping back. It's been a long battle, but you have to bump back. But and when you look at this murder of this Jeremy Lamont Robinson, I've seen the autopsy pictures. I've seen where the baby was shot. Our community must bump back on that. You cannot stand still and silent and cautious and measured tones. You can't. In order for a ear of corn to grow, you don't cautiously lay the seed on top of the ground and expect that it will grow. You have to agitate the soil. You have to move the soil. You have to agitate, move, and put the seed in, and then agitate the soil some more and cover it up. And then the seed will grow. Agitation is the thing that causes change to be made. You cannot sit by silently. You can't, like you can't lay a seed on top of the soil and expect it to grow. All things, good things, positive things, come as a result of agitation. You cannot stand still and expect that the right thing will happen. You have to agitate and make certain that it does. Jeremy was murdered, born on January 9th, 1991, and buried on January 9th, 2007. Killed when he was 15, buried when he was 16. And murdered by what has been a BICOP, whose name is reportedly Nathaniel Burkamper. Reportedly. We have so much to do. I'm looking at this article that talks about how our good government has been trying to get at our websites. That they want to surveil every single website that we visit. You have to bump back, y'all. You have to bump back against this stuff. Steve.
Hello?
Yes, Steve.
No, it's Lee.
Lee.
Yeah, hi, Miss Brown.
Good morning.
Miss Brown, you know, I just want to talk a little bit like George Bush. George Bush, you know, he's talking about changing the strategy in Iraq. He never changed what his strategy. He always wanted to do the same thing, always wanted to stay there, and nothing changed. He wanted to send more troops in. They're not going to leave there. They're making too much money in Iraq.
And also within the next few days, the Iraqi Council of Ministers are expected to approve a new hydrocarbon law that will allow ExxonMobil, that is, BP,
right,
Shell, and other companies to come in and to steal Iraq's oil.
Yeah, I know. And this thing here with Bush, he do not want to change his mind. He always want to be right. He don't care nothing about American people. He's going to do exactly what he feel like he want to do. And that's what he's doing. American people better wake up. This man's a mad man here. And so that's what I'm talking about. And this guy, Jeremy, I hope they get this guy because this doesn't make any sense.
All right, Lee.
God bless.
God bless you. Listen, folks, we're going to take a break. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We have much business to tend to. Much business. Stay with me.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis. AM 920 WGNU.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown. Liz Brown.
Taking off my shoes. Jumping in the water, washing away these blues. Now there's an ocean, current takes hold. Words already been spoken, tales already been told. Hearts already controlled, wounds already been healed. Do you wanna be loved? Do you wanna be loved for real?
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. Don't forget, there's a hometown sale going on at Sears. That's right, Sears at Union and Natural Bridge. Starting today, 10% off of all regular and sale price home appliances, plus 6 months no interest, no payments on any appliance over $399 with your Sears card, and free delivery after mail-in rebate on any appliance over $399. You want a great deal, $399 for a Kenmore 14.8 cubic foot top freezer refrigerator. Save $80 and no interest, no payments until January 8th on all fitness equipment over $299 with your Sears card. Get on down to Sears. Take advantage of these great deals right there at Union and Natural Bridge, and tell them I told you to. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. We need to be clear on why our good government is in Iraq right now. Why Boy George looked into the camera, stumbled through his teleprompter, and glazed eyes said to you, we need more troops in Iraq. No, the security situation that exists on the ground in Iraq is solely because of Boy George's war of choice. And it's solely about getting the oil that is there. And in all fairness to the Bush administration, he has, and as much as I talk about his ADD, his inability to focus, I will say this. He has managed to keep his eye on the oil prize. He has kept his eye on the oil prize. If they pass this law, if they pass this law in Iraq, done and done. The thing that Saddam Hussein would not allow America to do, get his, take his nation's oil, it's their oil. It's the third largest oil reserve in the world, and it belongs to Iraq. It's theirs. If they want to just let the oil stay in the ground, that's their choice. If they want to give the oil away to the rest of the world, that's their choice. If they want to put oil in bottles and set the bottles on fire, that's their decision. But there's a little law that's percolating way through that, the creation of the Iraqi government that we created. The hydrocarbon law that was put together by Bush and Tony Blair. It will radically redraw the Iraqi oil industry and throw open the doors to the third largest oil reserve in the world. It would allow the first large-scale operation of foreign oil companies in a country since the industry was nationalized in 1972. Oh, and when would the law take effect? What's this month? It's January. The law would take effect in March. The ADD president has been able to focus on that prize, the oil prize. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, this is Brother Chapman. Thank you, Liz, for coming on the air, bringing the knowledge that you bring. We have to start looking at George Bush for what he really is. We have to remember that George Bush belongs to 332. He's a skull and bonesman, and their agenda, like all others that have joined him and his father, the Tony Blair, is a new world order. Not only do they want to take the world's natural resources for themselves, but they wish to go, while they're blowing up and killing folks on one side of Iraq, we have to remember Iraq is also Sumer. They're digging up archaeologists on the other side of Iraq trying to find bones with DNA in them, trying to bring up those people who call themselves black, Afro, or whatever it is, but they're Sumer. They're trying to get the DNA from those bones so that they can live forever. They're under this presumption that they're going to live forever off the natural resources of the world. That's what New World Orderlist is really all about, those secret societies. And they have a clown, they have a president in the White House right now doing the very things that they want to be done. They want Armageddon to take place, where they annihilate a third part of the earth and the remainder of the natural resources be there. They think they're going to get away with it, but people are starting to wake up because of shows like yours, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Mike.
Good morning, Miss Brown.
Good morning.
Well, you know, it's pretty clear where the direction this thing is going to go for the last 2 years of this bandit while he's in office. And the new Congress, not a thing they can do with about these additional troops, and all they're going to do is get some more people killed. And did you hear what they said? The new strategy is that the additional troops will be living in the communities that they're, quote, patrolling, which means they're just more vulnerable.
The new troops would be living in the communities. The new troops from America?
Yes.
As opposed to living where?
In, I guess, what they call the green zone.
Well, all of the troops don't live in the green zone.
No, that's true. But
So those are the troops I'm talking about. Aren't those troops living in the communities already?
Apparently not. I guess they have a barrack, a central command, central location. But they said part of the new strategy was going to be that they would be living in the communities where they'll be quelling the violence It's
wait a minute. They're going to be what? Renting apartments in the community? How does that work?
They didn't explain that.
I imagine they didn't.
They said it on the networks after the speech. So that would be interesting myself.
Huh?
To see.
How would that work?
I have no clue.
Huh?
How has everything else worked?
Not very well.
Exactly.
Not well at all.
And I agree with the earlier caller, but I like to hear mainly from the after 10 o'clock crowd on this station how they continue to stand up behind lies and a failed policy. And just like everybody said when this jumped off, it's all about the oil.
Period, dot.
It's all about the resources, and look at how much money Halliburton, Brown, Kellogg, and Root, Dick Cheney and crew, and the oil folks who backed this presidency have made. And when he leaves office in 08, when the American people find out how much money this bunch of bandits has stolen, they may need another bailout like they did when his daddy was in there.
Mm.
You just never know, huh?
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. Think about it. Think about it. How are we going to surge more troops when the Army can't find enough troops to meet their quotas? How are we going to surge more troops when the Marines cannot find those that want to be part of the few and the proud? How are we going to surge? Where are we going to get this surge from? We don't have enough people in the military right now. Are our reserves now going to have to go back for fourth and fifth tours? And what kind of military are we putting on the ground with reservists that have to go back 3, 4, 5 times? So if the surge piece, even if you wanted to say surging could work, it can only work based on what you're surging with. And if you're surging with not the few, the proud, but the dispirited and the weak and the exhausted, the emotionally drained, the questioning, if you're surging with those folks, tell me again how this win works. Tell me again what this win looked like. Tell me what this would be. The surge, the so-called surge, are going to be long-standing, overstrained units thrown into urban warfare that none of them are trained to do. And maybe in all fairness to Boy George, that's why he looked so glassy-eyed last night. That's why he looked so ADD. That's why he was clearly reading off a teleprompter. That's why he looked unusually disconnected. Because even the F student can figure out that this plan can't work. And he ain't that good of an actor. This is a lousy plan. No, scratch that. This is not a plan. This is not a plan. We're surging with people that are exhausted. And even if they were on top of their game, they haven't been trained for urban warfare. And, oh, by the way, we shouldn't even be in this war anyway. It's about the oil, baby. The only reason that we're there, it's about the oil and the third largest oil reserve in the history of the world. Mm. And not only that, Iraq has the world's most easily retrievable oil. The cost per barrel of extracting oil in Iraq is amongst the lowest in the world because the reserves are relatively close to the surface. Huh. You can just see ExxonMobil and BP foaming at the mouth, high-fiving, oily high-fiving each other with their oily hands, their greedy hands. Do you know how much lust is involved with what Iraq has from the oil industry? Do you know how lustful they are? They complain all the time. Oil companies complain all the time about it costs so much to extract the oil from where we're getting it. In Iraq, you practically stick your fist in the ground and you can get some oil. They are losing their minds over this theft. We're in Iraq because we're stealing their oil. Period. Dot. Over 3,000 dead American babies because Boy George and Dick Cheney et al. Want to steal Iraq's oil. And they almost have done it. They've almost got it done. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Hometown sale time. Starting today, 10% off of all regular and sale price home appliances, plus 6 months, no interest, no payments on any appliance over $399. If you purchase it with your Sears card, free delivery after mail-in rebate on any appliance over $399. How about this? $699 on a 21-cubic-foot refrigerator, saving almost $100 on that. Look, get on down to Sears at Union and Natural Bridge. That's right, Sears. Get your hometown shop on. No interest, no payment until January 2008 on all fitness equipment over $299 with your Sears card. Get on down there. Tell them I told you to.
Tune in every Thursday at noon till 1 p.m. on WGNU 920 on the AM dial. You can talk to Dr. Walker and her guests weekly to discuss health and medical issues. Nurse Wanda always has information that you won't want to miss. Every show is different, and talking to Dr. Walker is always fun. Call 314-454-0400. You can also listen to Dr. Walker's Medical Hour on the Internet. Log on to WGNU.net. Click on Listen Live.
Looking for time made just for you? Wanting to hear from some young people who are cool and well-informed? Have some questions adults just can't seem to answer? There is a place for you on WGNU Radio. Tune in Sunday nights at 5:30. You'll hear teens talk about stuff teens understand. Find out about the latest in music, sports, and other issues that matter. Finally, a talk show for teens, about teens, by teens on 9:20 a.m. 5:30 Sunday night. Sponsored by the St. Charles Lwanga Center.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Been around the whole world, still ain't seen nothing like my neighborhood. And of all of the fancy satin, my white cotton feels so good. Search high and low for a place where I can lay my burdens down. Ain't nothing in the whole wide world like the peace that I have found. In the little things and the joy they bring.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. Tim.
How are you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
I want to ask you a question.
Sure.
Well, of course, I know you know the answer to it. Why doesn't America fight the brother straight up?
Say again?
I said, why doesn't America fight them straight up? Why does he have to always go get other people to fight?
Explain. Fight who for what?
What I'm trying to say is when he's in Iraq, he used the British and whoever he got to join with him. In Afghanistan, he uses NATO. In Somalia, he uses Ethiopia. Why does he never fight on the battlefield straight up? The reason why I'm saying that is because of this. America is losing the war firsthand, straight up. He cannot win a war against those who call insurgents, what he called them. He cannot win a war straight up. He is losing bad in Afghanistan, and he will not admit it publicly. And NATO was losing also. In Iraq, he's losing. You know, and you look at that situation, and you ask yourself, now, if that's going on over there, what about the Muslims that are over here? What are they? Are they good citizens or are they traitors? It's the latter. They're traitors. I'm telling you, I go to the masjids. All the Muslims that are around here and that come from the Middle East, all of them are traitors to their own countries if you talk to them. That's the reason why they're here. That's why they got liquor stores. That's why they got beauty supply shops and whatever. You know, and you look at it, if this was happening in Ghana and all the Africans came over here and America stayed over there, we would call them the same thing. And like I said, I want people to understand, next time you go to a liquor store, I mean, you go to a store, and whatever store you go to, and you see them, you must remember that. Just remember
Why are you saying that all of them are traitors?
They're
why?
Traitors because I why? Know them personally. I go to the masjids.
But why? But why? Okay, you know them. That's not an answer. Why? Why? Why?
Because first of all, your country's at war. Why would you leave? You never in Islam. You never leave war. That's one of the basic tenets of Islam.
Okay.
When your country's in war, you're never supposed to run.
Okay. Okay.
So that's one reason why I'm trying to say they're traitors.
Okay.
I just want to make that comment.
Okay. Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Liz, forget what he's talking about, because that ain't what it's all about right now. We got to survive no matter what the cost is. And what I'm saying to you, sis, is keep on doing what you're doing, and you got the full backing of, you know, the brotherhood, and that's what it's all about right now, okay?
Thanks for your call.
Yes, ma'am.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. Don't forget on Monday. Monday is Martin Luther King's birthday. It's also my birthday. It's also my birthday. At noon, there will be a town hall meeting on the murder of Jeremy Lamont Robinson, born on January 9th, 1991, buried on January 9th, 2007, murdered by a cop. Reportedly, the cop's name is Nathaniel Burkcamper. Shot in the back while laying on the ground, almost Christ-like, arms outstretched, face down in the mud. How do I know he's been shot in the back? Because I've seen the pictures. I've seen the pictures of his body and the bullet holes. How do I know that they shot in the back? Because Irene J. Smith and Quincy Troop were there with the pathologist, examining the body, counting the bullet holes and wounds. Shot in the back. Murdered. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get to me. Carl.
Yeah, good morning, Miss Brown. How you doing?
I am outstanding. How are you, Carl?
That's good. Pretty good. Yeah, you know what? I called yesterday, but anyway, I was wanting to know, did you see that interview that Oprah Winfrey had on Inside Edition about the school she built over in South Africa?
What is your specific question about? Because there are all kinds of excerpts and stuff that I've seen about that. Ask me a specific question about that, please.
Okay, well, what it was that the lady that was interviewing her asked her that why wasn't there any white students?
Well, it's not just
that. School.
I heard her response to that question, but not because it was posed by the interviewer, but because it was posed to her in a way that it said that they said that there were white people out there that were concerned that there weren't white people, white children at this $40 million school for girls that Oprah built in South Africa. She also built a home for herself on the compound grounds. It's a very lush facility, fireplaces in every room, there are yoga places, there's a restaurant in there for the girls. And what did Oprah say in response to that?
Okay, well, you know what, I can't recall all the words that she said, but this is my point. I don't know where these questions come from, but I would think that the person, even before they would put that question to Oprah Winfrey or whoever, they should think about the question that they ask, because the school was built for what? For those impoverished South African girls that was there? Was there any white that was in the area with the large population that the blacks were? I mean, those are like common sense questions. I think it was a very dumb question to ask.
There's no question that it's a dumb question. But here's the also another point with this, Carl, is this. If Oprah decides to put all of her money in the middle of Lindell Avenue and let the wind blow it,
right.
If Oprah decides to use her money for Kleenex and flush it down the toilet, that's Oprah's
right.
money. She can spend her money on any dang thing that she wants to spend her money on first. It's her money. And
right.
and if she decides to change the world or she doesn't decide to change the world, that's between her, her money, and God.
Right.
Now, with respect to what Oprah's response was to that stupid question, she said, that's a ridiculous question.
Right.
This country is a black country. These are black children. I am building this for black children in this country. It's a ridiculous question. And those were her words.
That's what I think. But just in closing, though, the devil doesn't use any common sense. Because, again, I say that that was a very commonsensical theme to not to ask stupid questions. But that's all that famous found.
But I think that that's also a reflection, Carl, of the fact that when you have entertainment industries or media industries, companies like that, I suspect, Carl, when you look at any of the writers on that show, none of them are black.
Right.
Or they are African people are statistically insignificant. When you look at the directors on that show, the people that are on there are African people are statistically insignificant. The issues that they talk about that as they pertain to African people, statistically insignificant. So it is consistent with that inconsistency that they would ask a stupid question like that because it's a company that doesn't even have any African people there. Thanks for your call.
Okay, thank you, too.
Andrew.
Good morning, Liz. Power is the people.
All right.
Liz, you're doing such a good show. I'm going to vote for you to be the president.
President of what?
Of this country. And we need help. Our race needs so much help that we need us a leader like you, Liz.
No.
I'm trying to tell you, this country is lost if you think I'm going to follow their footsteps or whatever they're doing, because they don't know what they're doing. So I need some leadership, Liz. I need you to lead the way.
And look, we all need to participate in this. This is an us thing. This is an us thing. Thanks.
Yeah, power is always the people, Liz. Power
Fact.
Is always the people.
Thanks for your call. Thank you so
all
much.
Right.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. And don't forget, you can email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. Jeff.
Hey, Liz. The problem in South Africa is not Oprah Winfrey.
Ain't that some stuff?
Yeah, my problem, and I don't want nobody to take this personal, but when Nelson Mandela got out of jail, did he have amnesia or something?
I think he did. I think
because
he did.
There's a lot of diamonds in South Africa, and the poverty level among young women and young men is still real high, and they're not even getting out the fourth and fifth grade.
Absolutely. I'm with you. I'm with you, Andrew.
And they're still living in shanties. So what happened, you know, to him when he became president, he said he was going to do all these things. I'm just wondering, did he have, like, shock treatment or something?
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's just hard to do with between interviews.
Exactly.
All right. Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, Liz, I'm wondering, have you ever thought about doing a special on the baby that shot the policeman down in Kirkwood and killed him? And then recently they made more charges that he wanted to tamper with the witnesses.
Is he in the criminal justice system? Is
yes.
justice being pursued with him? Do you have any doubt that if that child, if that baby did that crime, do you have any doubt that he will not be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law? What are you worried about, Michelle? What are you worried about? The criminal justice system will if that child did what they say that he did, then there is no question that this criminal justice system will snatch him up and punish him in ways that you haven't even thought of. He's gonna be punished to your satisfaction, Michelle. So don't you worry your little mind about it. Worry about Boy George, the person that you put into office. No, that's right. You didn't help put him into office. He stole his way in. My mistake. Worry about that boy. They're going to do it to him in ways that are legal and illegal, because that's the way the criminal justice system works in this country. What the heck are you worried about? XX Peter.
I'm seeing where the airstrike missed the Al-Qaeda suspects.
What Al-Qaeda suspects?
Absolutely.
What Al-Qaeda?
Killed a bunch of innocent
Somalian people. That's all that.